ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡ ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരമവാർണവാൽ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരി മൃദം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹഗാദരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമാന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കൊണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഹ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരേം ന കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതിനാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി Gauravani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Shrimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Nama Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishtasha Yasam Harikatod Gitam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gobi Charanaravinda Paramanave Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakra Shangham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vadalaya Shamanisham Kudivavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shamaloyam Kumaraga Veda Vedyavaram Brahma Vasadam Buradomamam Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lengayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Mande Paramanandamadhavam Shri Krishnaya Nama Shri Nadiradhyaye Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangeertanam Govinda Govinda Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaita Amrita Varshini Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshini Namostude Vyasa Vishala Buddhi Pullara Vindayada Vatra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Tailapurna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradiva Prabanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Vanaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrita Duhe Namam Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Bhishma Dronadana Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilolpala Shalyagrahavadi Kripena Vahani Karnena Velakula Ashwathama Vigarna Khora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalubanda Vairanadi Kaivartaga Keshava Parasharyavajasarojamamalam Gidartha Gandholkanam Nanakhyanagagesaram Harikatha Sambodhana Bhodidam Logai Sanjana Shalpadeir Harahapebiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Mangaja Kalimala Pradhvam Sinashreyase Bhugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudramarudastvan Vande Divyai Stavair Vedair Sangapadair Kramaupanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaham Dhyana vasita tadgadena manasa pashyandiyam yogino Yasyandam na vidusura suraganai devaya tasmai nama Shri Prahlada Vacha Brahmadaya Suraganamana Yoda Siddha Satvaigadana Madayo Vajasam Pravahe Aradidam Purivunaira Dhunadi Bipru Kimtosham Arhadi Same Hari Rugrajati Manyedhana Bijanarupa Tapashruta Ujasteja Prabhava Balava Virusha Buddhi Yoga Aradhanai Bhavandi Parasya Vamso Bhaktyadu Dosha Bhagavan Gajayudhapaya Vipradushal Gunaida Daravinda Napa Padaravinda Mukashavajam Varishtam Manyeta Darpidamano Vajanehidartha Pranam Bunadi Sagulam Nadupurimana Naivalpana Prahurayam Nijala Papurno Manam Janada Vidushakarino Pranite Yadjano Bhagavade Vidaditamanam Tachalpane Pratimukhasayata Mukhashri Tasmadaham Vigada Viklavamishwarasya Sarvalpana Mahigranami Yathamanisham Nijojaya Gunavisargamanu Pravishta Puyedayena Hipomananu Varnidena Sarvehyami Vidigaratava Sattvadhamno Brahmadayo Vaimiveshana Chodvijanda Kshemaya Bhudayudalpa Sukhaya Jasya Vikriridam Bhagavadoru Chiravadare തദ്ദേശമന്യമസുരശ്ചഹതസ്ത്വയാദ്യമോദീതസാധുരവിവൃശ്ചിക സർപ്പഹത്യ ലോകാശ്ച നിർവൃതിമിതാ പ്രതിയന്തി സർവേ രൂപം നൃസിംഹ വിഭയായ ജനാസ്മരന്തി നാഹം വിഭേം അജിതേതി ഭയാനകാസ്യ ജിഹ്വാർക്ക നേത്ര പ്രകുടീരസഭോഗ്രദംഷ്ട്രാൽ ആന്ധ്രസ്രജക്ഷതജകേസരശങ്കകർണ നിർഹ്രാദബീജതികിഭാധരി ഭിന്നഖാഗ്രാൽ ത്രസ്തോസ്മ്യഹം കൃപണവത്സല ദുസഹോഗ്രം സംസാരചക്രകഥനാൽഗ്രസദാം പ്രണീത ബദ്ധസ്വകർമ്മ ഭീഷത്തമതീങ്ക്രിമൂലം പ്രീതോപവർഗശരണം ഹയസേ കദാനു തസ്മാൽ പ്രിയാ പ്രീവിയോഗസയോഗജന്മ ശോകാഗ്നിനാ സകലയോൻഷു ദഹ്യമാന ദുഃഖൌഷതന്തതപി ദുഃഖമതദ്ധിയാഹം ഭൂമൻ ഭ്രമാമി വദമേതവദാസ്യ യോഗം സോഹം പ്രിയസ്യ സുഹൃദപരദേവതായ ലീലാകഥാസവ നൃസിംഹ വിരിഞ്ച ഗീത അഞ്ജസ്തിധർമ്മനുഗണൻ ഗുണ വിപ്രമുക്തോ ദുർഗാണിതേ പദയുഗാലയ ഹംസസംഗാഹ ബാലസ്യനേഹ ശരണം പിതരോ നൃസിംഹ ആർത്തസ്യ ജാഗതമുദന്നുതി മജ്ജതോ നൗ തപ്തസ്യ തൽപ്രതിവിധിയൈ ഹാഞ്ചജേഷ്ട താവദ്വിഭോ തനുഭൃതം തൊതുപേക്ഷിതാനം യസ്മിൻ യതോ യർഹി യേന ജയസ്യ യസ്മാദ്യസ്മൈ യഥാ ഇതുദയസ്തപരപ്പരോ വാ ഭാവകരോതി വികരോതി പൃഥക്സ്വഭാവം സഞ്ചോദിതസ്തതകിലം ഭവത സ്വരൂപം മായാമനസ്രജതി കർമ്മമയം ബലീയം കാലേന ചോദിത ഗുണാനുമതേന പുംസ ഛന്ദോമയം യതജയാർപ്പിത ഷോടശാരം സംസാരചക്രമജ കോതിതരേൽ തുതന്യ സത്വം ഹേത്യവിജിതാത്മഗുണസ്വധാംനാം കാലോവശീകൃത വിസർജ്ജ വിസർഗശക്തി ചക്രയവിശിഷ്ടമജയേശ്വര ഷോടശാരേ നിഷ്പിഢ്യമാനം ഉപകർഷ വിഭോ പ്രപന്നം ദൃഷ്വാമയാദിവി വിഭോഗിൽ ദൃഷ്ട്യമാനം ആയുഷ്രിയോ വിഭോമിച്ചതിയാഞ്ജനോയം യേസ്മൽപിതൂക്കുവിതഹാസുവിചുംബിതബ്രൂ വിസ്പൂജിതേന ലളിതാം സതുതേ നിരസ്താഹ തസ്മാദമുസ്തവനുപൃതോ മഹമാശ്രോജ്ഞ ആയുഷ്രിയം വിഭോ മൈന്ദ്രിയമാവിരിഞ്ചാൽ നേച്ഛാമി ദേവി ലളിത ഉരുവിക്രമേണ കാലാത്മനോപനയമാം നിജഭൃത്യപാർശ്വം കുത്രാശിഷാ ശ്രുതിസുഖാ മൃഗദൃഷ്ണിരൂപ ക്വേദം കളയവരമശേഷരുചാം വിരോഹ നിർവിദ്യതേ നദുജനോ യദ്ഭീതി വിദ്വാൻ കാമാനലം മധുലവൈ ശമയാ ശമയ ദുരാപൈഹി ക്വാഹം രജപ്രഭോമീശതമോദിയേസ്മിൻ ജാതസുരേതരകുലേ ക്വ തവാനുകമ്പ ന ബ്രഹ്മണോ നദുഭവസ്സ ന വൈരമായ എന്മേ അർപ്പിത ശിരസി പത്മകരപ്രസാദാഹ നൈഷാ പരാവരമതിർഭവദോദനസ്യ ജന്തുര്യഥാൽപസുകൃതോ ജഗത് സദാപി സംസേവയാ സുരതരോരിവതേ പ്രസാദം സേവാനുരൂപമുദയോ ന പരാവരത്വം ഏവം ജനം നിവേദിതം പ്രഭവാഹി കൂപേ കാമാഭികാമമനീയ പ്രബുദൻ പ്രസംഗാൽ കൃത്വാസ്മസാൽ സുരർഷിണാ ഭഗവൻ ഗൃഹീതം സോഹം കടന്നു വിസൃജേ തവ ഭൃത്യസേവാം മൽപ്രാണലക്ഷണമനന്ത പിതുർവധശ്ച മന്യേസു വൃത്യ കൃഷിവാക്യമൃതം വിധാതും ഖഡ്ഗം പ്രഗൃഹി യഥവോദിൽസു ത്വാം ഈശ്വരോ മതപരോദുഖം ഖരാമി ഏകസ്തുമേവ ജഗദേതമുഷയൽ ത്വാം ആദ്യന്തയോ പൃഥകവസ്യസി മധ്യതശ്ച സൃഷ്ട്വാ ഗുണവ്യതികരം നിജമായ ഏതം നാനൈവ ദൈരവസിതസ്തതനു പ്രവിഷ്ടാഹ ത്വം വായിതം സദസദീശഭവാം സദോന്യോ മായായതാത്മവിരുബുദ്ധിരിയം ഹ്യവാർത്ത യദ്യസ്യ ജന്മനിധനം സ്ഥിതിരീക്ഷണം ച തദ്വൈ തദേവ വസുകാലവദഷ്ടിതർവോ ന്യസേതമാത്മജയദ്ദുലയാംബമധ്യേ ശേഷാത്മനാനുജസുഖാനുഭവോ നിരീഹ യോഗേന മീലിതൃഗാത്മനിബീതനിദ്ര തുര്യേ സ്ഥിതോ നദു തമോ ന ഗുണാംശയുംക്ഷേ തസ്യൈവ ദൈവ ബിരുദം നിജകാലശക്ത്യ സഞ്ചോദിത പ്രകൃതിധർമ്മണമാത്മകൂഢം അംബസ്യനന്ദ ശയനാദ്വിരമത്സമാധേർ നാഭേരവൂൽസു കണികാവടവൻ മഹാബ്ജം തത്സംഭവ കവിരതോന്നതവശ്യമാന ത്വാം ബീജമാത്മനിതം സുബഹിർ വിചിന്യ നാവിന്ദതഭ്യശതമംസു നിമജ്ജമാനോ ജാതേ അങ്കുരേ കഥമുഹോബലഭേദ ബീജം സത്വാത്മയോനി നിരതി വിസ്മിതമാസ്തിതോബ്ജം കാലേന തീവ്രതപസാ പരിശുദ്ധഭാവ ത്വമാത്മനീഷഭൂവികന്ധമിവാദിസൂക്ഷ്മം ഭൂതേന്ദ്രിയാശയമയേ വിദതം ദദർശ ഏവം സഹസ്രവദനാംഗിശിരക്കരൂരു നാസാസ്യ കർണനയനാഭരണായുധാഢ്യം മായാമയം സദുപലക്ഷിത സന്നിവേശം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ മഹാപുരുഷമാവമുദം വിരിഞ്ച തസ്മൈ ഭവാൻ ഹയശിരസ്തനിവം ച വിബ്രദ്വേദ്രുഹാവിധി ബലോ മധുകൈടബാഖ്യോ ഹ്വാനയശുദികണാം സുരജസ്തമശ്ച സത്വം തവ പ്രിയതമാം തനുമാമനന്ദിം ഇത്തം നിർവേശിതിയ കൃഷിദേവ ജഷാവതാരൈർ ലോകാൻ വിഭാവേസിഹം സിജഗൽ പ്രദീപാൻ ധർമ്മം മഹാപുരുഷവാസികാനുവൃത്തം ചന്നക്കലോ യഥഭവ സ്ത്രീയുഗോധ സത്വം So, we were discussing last Sunday that Prahlada is saying to Narasimhamurti about this Hayagriva incarnation which we have mentioned. There are so many references to the Hayagriva incarnation in the Vedam and in Sri Vaishnava tradition that they say that there are many verses about Hayagriva, Upasana to Hayagriva. And this Hayagriva story comes in the Vedam in several places. We were talking about this particular Rishi, Atharva. Atharva, from whom Atharvana Vedam has come. So Atharva Rishi, he knew a technique, he knew a vidya, a process. Wherever, when we referred a word vidya in the Vedic terminology, it means that it is a particular upasana, particular way of upasana. For example, Atma Vidya means that Atma Upasana. In other words, every sampradayam has their own upasana process, and that is a confidential thing for that particular sampradayam. So, basically, that upasana is that the bridge towards the knowledge, towards the realization of the self, and that has to be heard from the spiritual master in confidence. He has to receive that in confidence. And it cannot be spoken directly to anybody as a technique. It will not work. Practically, it is said that it is transferred from one heart to another heart. And how that is transmitted, that is very difficult to explain that. And it can operate in any way. Only thing is, people know from their experience that that particular upasana works for them. So, what it does is that we have this greatest problem with the mind. Mind is actually creates a lot of thoughts inside. And it is like a poison inside. It's a pollution it creates inside. Just like even if you want to take to spiritual knowledge and spiritual way of life, the mind is on the way to create a lot of difficulties for us. So in order to remove that obstacles from the mind and get absorbed in the thoughts of the truth, thoughts of the reality, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and it requires it has to clear up the path, and that is what is known as upasana. Upasana is that purpose, vidya. So, if a particular process like this was known to our sage, Atharvana, Atharva Rishi knew this. And they are all very confidential things, and that's not generally revealed to ordinary people. So the reason being, it's not given to others is that even if you have spoken that, people won't understand that. It is not possible. Therefore it is confidential. That is why it's kept confidential. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also in the 9th chapter, isn't it? Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, he says. And then he is saying everything, what is so confidential. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyakshavahaman, Dharmam, Susukham, Kartum, Avyayam. After saying it is confidential, Krishna is speaking the whole confidential knowledge. So why does Krishna do that? Because Krishna knows this is not something that I can speak and somebody will understand it. It is not. That is why it's confidential. It will always remain confidential. So, therefore, just like, who am I? The knowledge about the self, even if it's spoken a lot about that, people will still say, I don't get it. I don't understand that. So therefore it is confidential. You can openly discuss this, openly talk to others, with full courage you can, boldly you can talk to others, but, but we know very well that it will not be understood. And therefore it will remain as confidential. And whoever has got that grace from Krishna's grace, only he will get it. Only he will get it. By talking about it, you won't get it. By publicizing it, you won't get it. By handing over a book, you won't get it. And even if you just take the example, the chanting of the holy name itself, then even if you are given the holy name to somebody, he may not get it. He may not get it. Ramanujacharya is best example. Ramanujacharya was chanting the holy name. Ashtachari it is called. Ashtachari means the 8 letters. Om Namo Narayanaya. These 8 letters. Ashtachari mantra. So this Ashtachari mantra, his spiritual master has instructed him. And he told him that whoever gets it, he will go back to Vaikuntha planets, he said. And so Ramanuja said to the, Ramanuja did not think about it too much. Whoever gives it to others freely, he will go to hell, he said, without knowing that. So Ramanujacharya went into the temple tower of Srirangam and went into the top of the tower, one of the towers, and from there he spoke openly this Ashtakshari mantram to all the people who were present there. And Ramanujacharya knew that just by hearing like that, nothing is going to happen. So, and he also knew that just by hearing, people are not just going to chant. You can see, even if you propagate the holy name, not many people take to chanting process seriously. So, even the chanting is, even if we want to chant properly, it is difficult for that to happen, because only if there is Krishna's grace that it can happen. So, when does our, this is upasana, when does the upasana clicks? When does it click? That when the Antaryami inside puts a seal on that, when he puts a stamp on that, and the moment he puts a stamp on that, it will work, the holy name will work. And the spiritual masters know this well, and when he gives it to the disciples, that immediately, if it is meant to work, it will create a powerful force inside of the disciples. And the spiritual master knows that, and the disciple also knows that. So, the disciple may not know it completely, but the spiritual master will know it. That is what is that powerful force that's operating from the Antaryami. And that force that comes from the Antaryami, that is that force that is the one which connects. That's the one which connects. So, only if that force comes from the Antaryami, that upasana will have its effect. Upasana will have its effect. So, just like a technique, you can say to people, oh, you do like this, meditate like this, chant like this. But to have the proper results to happen, it wouldn't happen that way. You can keep on doing it for the rest of the life. And all these things, the secret of all these things, the rishis have understood this through their upasana for many, many years of austerities and penances. They have understood this. That is what he is saying here. Prahlada is saying here, Suttvatmayeni ativismida astitobjam kalena tivratavasa parishuddha bhava. Brahma did this. See that, verse 35. So, Atmayoni ativismidam astido abjam. Brahma is sitting on the top of that abjam, tavara, or lotus flower. And Atmayoni ativismidam, he was in a great shock sitting there. Atmayoni ativismidam astido abjam. Kalena, in due course of time, tivra tapasa, by excessive austerities and penances, parishuddha bhava, purified himself. So this purification is important. A very, very long, intense sadhana is necessary to purify inside. That's why he's saying here, kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava. Brahma's experience Prahlada is talking about. Sattvatmayoni radivismidamasti dobjam kalena tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava. Tivra tapasa parishuddha bhava. Parishuddha bhava means our bhava mandalam inside. Purification of that is a lifetime job. Purifying inside is a lifetime job. Bhavamandala means our manomandalam, or the platform of mind. If that is not purified, then it will not open up the track for spiritual knowledge to go in, for the spiritual knowledge to happen. So, Atharvana Maharshi, Atharva knew a process, and Indra understood that, Indra heard that Atharva knew this process. And rishis decided that we should give this to everyone else who can get the benefit of that. Out of their compassion they were thinking like that. Rishis' natures are like that. Like At that time, Indra comes in and says to Atharva Maharshi, gave him a warning like this, if you give this to anybody else, I'll cut your head off. Indra doesn't like it when such a thing happens. So when Indra was talking about this to Atharva Maharshi, the Ashwini Devas, they were present there. They heard this. They thought that there is some secret here which we would like to find out what that is. And they, when Indra left, they came to see Atharva Maharshi. Then they told Atharva, please teach us this process, what you know about it. Atharva Maharshi said, tells them that if I tell you these things, Indra is going to cut my head off. So Ashwini Kumara says to them, we know that, but we have a method of protecting you. First, we will cut your head off and take it away. And then we will put some horse's head on you. And keeping that horse head, you instruct us through the horse head. Let Indra comes, Indra will come back and he'll cut your head off. And when after Indra has come and cut your head off, we'll bring your original head and put it back again. This is in the Upanishads, this story. The story is in the Upanishad. That means these Ashwini Kumaras had such a surgery power that they could take your head off and put the horse head. After Indra comes and cut your head off and Indra goes back, we will put your original head back there. Original head back there. So that's what they did. Then they cut off Atharva's head and put the horse head on top of that. And keeping that horse head, that this Atharva Vidya was instructed to the Kumaras. And there is a Hayagriva, because Hayagriva means that horse head. Then in this way there are many stories about Hayagriva in the Puranas. And here in this verse, that Krishna has appeared as Hayagriva. That incarnation is spoken here. And Ittam Rudirya, if you look at the verse 38, Ittam Rudirya Krishi Deva Jashavatarer Logan Vibhavayasi Hamsi Jagal Pradivan Dharmam Mahapurushapasi Yuganavrtham Channakalo Yadabhavastri Yugoda Sattvam. Then here you can see here Prahlada is saying to Narasimham that you have taken many, many different bodies before in the past. Human form and Tiryaka, animals, and that means body which are horizontal, vertical and inclined ones, and different animals. Then Varaham. Varaha Itam Nuridi Shideva Jashavadare Logan. Varaham, Varahavadaram, boar incarnation, fish incarnation. Then Krishna has also come as rishis, sages, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Kapila Maharshi. These are all Krishna's sage incarnations. Then many, many rishis form Krishna has taken. All these things Krishna has done for the sake of creation, maintenance, dissolution, and also to maintain dharmam in this world. That's why I say, dharmam mahapurushapasi yugana vrtam. Dharmam mahapurushapasi yugana vrtam. For the maintenance of dharmam, Krishna has accepted these different forms. Then channakalo yadabhavastri yugoda sattvam. Prahlada is saying here that in the Kali you are hiding. You are hiding because you are present in everyone in a confidential way, and all previous incarnation, all previous time periods, you have accepted a body according to your desire. That is why mentions in the Bhagavatam, Svechopanta Pratak Vabhu. That's the word. Svechopanta Pratak Vabhu. Krishna accepts a body, Pratak Vabhu, a body, according to his desire. And it manifested in this world. In Kali Yugam, this did not happen. This didn't happen. Here it is all confidentially kept. In the sense, Bhagavatam is saying the holy name itself is Krishna. In the age of Kali, the holy name is Krishna. Holy name is Krishna. Saying all these things, Prahlada finishes his glorifications there. And then come, this is all about Jnanamargam. Starting from verse 30 right up to 36. It's all about the spiritual knowledge and self-realization. Ekastvam eva jagadeta tamoshayaltvam adyandayo pratagavasyasi madhyadascha srishtva gunavidigaram nijamayedam nanayavadai ravasidas tadenu pravishta. From then onwards right up to this verse. Now Prahlada is coming back to a role of a devotee again and is talking here. So when it comes to bhakti sadhana, bhakti process, so mind does not have any taste for spiritual life. No interest in hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, no interest for Salsangam. Mind is saying that even when you are sitting to listen to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, mind is going somewhere else. It's not listening. Mind is dragging us somewhere else to other things in this world, wandering around everywhere. So, unfortunately for all of us, according to our samskaram and vasana inside, only in those things we get interested. Our taste is for things where whatever vasanas we have inside. Accordingly, our mind goes in that way, whichever way it is, isn't it? So, this problem is everywhere. You know, all big people had this problem. What to talk about ordinary people? Big people, they had this problem that according to whatever vasanas inside, accordingly the mind will go in that direction. So, even about Vivekananda, they used to say this, that he was going to see his spiritual master, and he used to drag a lot of people to come with him, as his friends, everybody. But after they got there, he was restless. He couldn't sit there. And after 10 or 15 minutes, he will get up, and he will wander around, because vasanas inside is working very, very strongly. And then he will say to his friends whom he has brought them there, he says, I'll go back to the boat and I'll see you there, I'll wait there for you. And like that he used to walk away. Because as long as we have these strong vasanas inside, even we won't enjoy the salsangam or bhagavadam or bhagavad gita, kathashravanam or hearing the bhagavadam seriously or the holy name. So normally when a devotee, what he does is, when he knows the problem, what he has got inside, what does he do? He says to Krishna, crying to Krishna, saying to him that you have to do something about this, because my vasanas are too full in me and it's not allowing me to give sufficient attention to what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And this crying in front of Krishna to show this mercy itself is a sadhana. Crying is a sadhana. Because the first sadhana, what we have all done when we came to this world, is crying, isn't it? So, and when we were born, we didn't know father, mother, God, all these things were unknown to us when we were born. But as soon as you felt restless in this world, when you appeared in this world, started crying straight away. Qua, 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 started that straight away. So, when we cried, a healing has come at that time from somewhere. We don't know how it has come. Mother takes a child and starts patting the child, looking after the child, gives the milk, put the child to sleep. And the child doesn't know anything, where this is coming from, how it's coming. He has no idea. All he knew at that stage was just to cry. That's the only thing he knew. He cried and the help came. And the help came, isn't it? So you can imagine that state, what we were at that time, what we were all at that time, when we were born. We had no idea about a protection from mother or even God, in any understanding, nothing, isn't it? Totally ignorant. But only thing you knew was how to cry, and you cried. Every child cries, isn't it? Every baby cries. As soon as you cried, Krishna has set up everything in such a way the mother comes, mother gives the milk, mother provides everything, looks after the baby for a long period of time. When does the baby comes to know that there is somebody looking after? Much later. But you can see here that if you can think about that state where what you we were all in at that point, and if you can go back to that state again. So, nothing you knew about it, but you are feeling some pain in the body sometimes, you cry. And when you cry, the mother or father looks after the baby and makes sure that something is done about that. So, so much has been organized by Krishna's arrangement to care for the baby, even though baby doesn't know anything about it. So, from this, rishis are saying to us that that power that has protected you inside the womb of the mother, and that power that has protected you when you came out of the womb of the mother for quite a long time and healed from all the problems, it has all worked because of crying. So if crying has worked there, why crying should not work now? At that time it has worked, why should it not work now? So, we have to understand that this crying is not an unnatural thing. People have this misunderstanding, crying is an unnatural thing. That actually only thing that is natural is crying. Only thing that's natural is crying. So when we feel the pain of this material life, when we feel the miseries of this material life, it's important that we should speak and cry in front of Krishna. Many jnanis and yogis and rishis, they have cried to Krishna in this way, that if I do not experience that knowledge of the self, what you have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if I do not get that experience, then what is the use of this life? In this way they have cried. So nature, the way the nature operates is, when the nature feels that if there is a deep necessity in a particular place for something, in automatically the nature will make sure it is supplied there. It is supplied there. That is the way nature operates. So if the nature feels, material nature feels, there is a deep necessity for something somewhere, material nature will make sure it is supplied there. Our problem is, we are thinking we'll use our brain and technique and other methods what we have developed. And we are thinking with these methods and processes and techniques, we will develop spiritual life. That's not how it works in spiritual life. If the person who wants it, if he is crying, and if his crying is so genuine, that he really feels it, that he needs, material nature will make arrangement that it will happen to that person. The reason why it's not happening, we have also not felt the necessity. That's the way it operates. That's the way it operates. And this is the example that you can see when the baby cried and baby had no idea what else to do. Except crying, nothing else the baby knew. And Krishna arranged everything for the baby to be cared for. So that principle works in spiritual life. As much as we have the desire for realization, self-realization, and it becomes very intense inside, only then the help will come. Otherwise it won't come. Up to that point, it's all discussions and meetings and reviews and presentations and seminars and this and that. All these things can carry on. Up to that point. But genuinely, when does it happen? It happens when inside that person's heart, he is feeling the absolute necessity to realize the truth and crying to Krishna for that help, because without Krishna's help, it's not going to happen. That won't come through seminars and courses and that's all completely on a platform of the mind and the brain. So that's what he's saying here also. Here also, that you can see the baby cried, the milk arrived, isn't it? The milk arrived. And mother is ready, the milk is ready. How perfect the system works. The baby cried, the milk arrived, mother was there to feed the baby. So here you can see that um, Our problem is, we don't understand that simple principle, but instead we use our brain and some new techniques develop. All the time new yoga systems are coming, new processes, and we become stupid. So everything that power, supreme power that organizes everything, and He is present in everything, and when you cry with pain, He knows where to give you the help. Similarly, bhakti sadhana also, in sadhana also, when there is problems, when it comes with difficulties, we have to cry to Krishna that we are in difficulty. We cannot continue with this because you are not getting that sufficient strength from inside. And that's what all devotees have done in their life. If you look into the devotee's life, you will see that this is what has happened. That is why he says in the next verse, you can see, Naitanma 39, Naitanma nastava katha suvikundhanatha sampriyade durida dushtamasadu tivram kamaturam harshashoga bhaishanartham tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dinaham. Prahlada is saying that in solitude, if we want to stay and inquire about the self or meditate on the soul, even if you want to do that, the mind is going somewhere else. What can I do? Prahlada is saying, even if I want to go away from everything and in solitude if I want to engage in spiritual life, it doesn't happen because mind is not listening. Mind is taking me somewhere else. So even if you sit and try to listen to Bhagavatam or Vedantam or Bhagavad Gita, if you want to sit down and listen to that, in the head all kinds of questions are coming, doubts are coming, so many thought waves are coming, vikshepam are coming, and they are taking away the attention somewhere else, not feeling any taste for the Bhagavatam. And that is what he is saying, durida dushtam asadhu tivram, he says. Naidan manas tava kathasu vigundhanatha sampriyade durida dushtam asadhu tivram. Durida dushtam asadhu tivram. Why has it happened? Because of the after effect of my previous activities and previous lifetimes. Therefore, previous activities what I have done in my so many lifetimes, durida dushtam asadhu tivram, they are coming back now and haunting me and not allowing me to able to absorb in the knowledge of the self or self-realization what has been spoken in the Bhagavatam. And it says here, durida dushtam asadhu tivram, just like a mentally vomiting sensation inside. Something has got inside and it is causing problems in the mind. That pain. That means I'm not getting a clarity in spiritual life. Not getting a clarity. So many things, so many people are saying, and in listening to all of them, which way to go? That clarity is not happening inside. And so much doubts about so many things. And therefore there is no peace inside, nor is no perfection inside, no fulfillment inside. Like one devotee once said to a Mahatma, that I'm finding it difficult to believe in the existence of God, he said. Because then the Mahatma told him, who asked you to believe in God, he said. When he told him, who asked you to believe in God? You stay as you are. Then after some time, because he was staying in that group of devotees, after some time he comes back and says to the Mahatma that I was not happy when I was sitting like that, without having the listening to Bhagavatam and without listening into the association of the devotees. So then Mahatma told him, then you start the inquiry then. First he said, I was not feeling good. I don't have any faith in God. And I left and went away. Then afterwards he says, so I'm finding it very difficult to be like that. It's not giving me any happiness. And he came back. So Mahatma says, okay, now you feel like inquiring, inquire now. When you feel it. He said, Mahatma told him that we have not asked you to start self-inquiry or anything, but if you are happy inside and stay like that, you can stay like that. And if you are feeling happy in the association of Bhagavadam, association of devotees, if you are feeling like that, that happiness what you feel is Krishna. That happiness what you feel is Krishna. Atma Anandam Brahme Divya Janan, Taittiriya Upanishad says. That happiness what you feel when you hear from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that experience what you have, that is Krishna. Anandam Brahme Divya Janan. So, nobody can say to anybody, you be like this or be like that, and execute spiritual life in that way. Because everybody is independent in this world. And you can't tell somebody and change a person completely. That is not possible. So, you will inquire about the self only if there is an urge from inside. When you are not feeling satisfied in life, when you are feeling unhappy with the situation, an urge comes from inside, that is when you start the inquiry. That is when you start the inquiry. Prahlada is saying here that my mind is not able to focus. It's not going after the truth. It's not going after the truth. And the same way, like Prahlada mentions here, you can see, Kamaturam harsha shoka bhayeshan artam tasmin katham tava gadhim vimrshami dina. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhayeshan artam. Kamam, desires are inside. And harsham shokam, sometimes happiness and sometimes distress. Bhayam, fear sometimes. All these different emotions are operating inside. And Prahlada is saying here that these desires that is inside me, I get pulled by them. And they are like diseases inside in the mind. And harsha shogam means that sometimes something happens according to your desire in this world, you feel excited, isn't it? Happy you feel. You feel suddenly happy. It has happened the way you wanted it. It has happened, so you feel happy. And suppose you didn't get it, what you wanted, then you feel depressed also. If things happen the way we want it, harsham. If it doesn't happen the way we want it, shogam. That happiness and depression, dukham. Sometimes small children, they look depressed. And sometimes people are born in depression, and it's not at all surprising that they feel depressed, because born in depression and then depression later, double depression happens to them. So why is the mind like that? That is what he is saying here. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhayeshanartham. Kamaturam harsha shoka bhayeshanartham. Kamam, desires, harsham, that happiness and distress that we are experiencing here. When you get something, you feel happy. When you don't get it, you feel unhappy. And that bhayam, fear and excitement. Shokam bhayam. Without any necessity, any purpose, feeling fearful. Feeling fearful about that. And similarly, different eshana inside. Eshana artham. Eshana means putreshana, dhareshana, logeshana, viteshana. These are all the eshanas in the Bhagavad mentioned. Viteshana. Not satisfied with the wealth. Putreshana. Attachment to the children and that desire building up strongly. Dhareshana. Attachment to the wife and family. Logeshana. For desire for recognition in the world. All these are eshanas. So this eshana, all these things, what does it do? It creates disturbances in the mind. Artham, what he says here? That bhayeshan artham, arti, artham, it creates artham. Vyadigrastham, that means he wants something this or the other, and somehow or the other, then mind is not able to absorb in the process of the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Mind is not getting attracted there. That's what he's saying here. Tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dinaha. Tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dina. What should I do? Tavagadim vimrshami dina, he's saying here. What shall I do? How do I engage in spiritual life having a mind like this inside? Mind like this inside. How do I inquire, self-inquiry or bhakti process? How do I execute? Manikyavajagar says this. A devotee's position, he says, that when I look at you, he says to Lord Shiva, when I see your devotees and seeing their state of happiness, I'm thinking, why am I like this? Manikyavajagar is saying this to Shiva. Looking at your devotees and their state of happiness, why am I like this? Manikyavajagar says. So this you can see among the many great souls who have, they had to go through very hard times in their spiritual life. It was never a easy path for them. So that is why they're saying here, Muruganar Swami, they were used to talk about him, a great realized person, highly advanced devotee, and highly knowledgeable person as well. He had at that time over 50,000 disciples he had. And many of his godbrothers, they used to stand in front of his room to have a discussion or to have some audience with him. But they used to be so respectful to Muruganar Swamiji. For what reason? They knew that his state was like that. His state was like that. And because among the God brothers this will happen. When somebody is advanced spiritually, others who have spiritual understanding, only them it will happen. Not otherwise. Those, say many devotees who are together, they all have good spiritual understanding. If some of them are a little higher level, the others will feel a higher reverence for them, depending on that person's state situation. So, they used to feel the same thing towards Muruganar Swamiji also. And that is the mercy of the spiritual master. And that is for that purpose, satsangam, and to realize that state of realization of a person, yani, or a devotee, and anibhuti, or the realization level, for that purpose, satsangam is necessary. And it is not easily understood. It is not easily understood and freely understood by everybody. So, if you are in that state, he says here, we may not even understand that, their state. Their state, it is difficult to understand. That is what Prahlada is saying there. See that? He says, Naidan manastava kathasi vikundhanatha sampriyade durida dushtamasaduti vram kamaturam harsham shogam bhayeshanartham tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dinaham. In that verse he has packed that understanding that it is not easy to understand the position of a great soul. It's not possible, he's saying here. Paul Brenton mentioned this about Maharshi. He says there, he went to see Maharshi in Tiruvannamalai. By then, he has traveled all over. And then he went to Kanjipuram and met Chandrasekhara Saraswati there. When he met Chandrasekhara Saraswati, told him that before you go back to your country, go and see Ramana Maharshi and then go back. He said, seeing me is not good enough, he said. Chandrasekhara Saraswati said this to him. So, based on Chandrasekhara Saraswati's instruction, Paul Brenton decided to go to Tiruvannamalai and to see him. When he went there to see Maharshi, Maharshi didn't talk to him initially, didn't talk to him at all, not even give any attention to him. He, in his usual state, he sat there. Maharshi sat there, completely quiet and silent. So, before he came there, like we all do, Paul Brendan was more organized than us. So what? He has written down all the questions, one after the other, what he wanted to ask. You see how we get misled by the mind and the brain. We think when we go to see a Mahatma, we think we should be organized ourselves. So we write down all the questions and doubts, what we have and everything. So when he was saying thing, he also did the same thing. He prepared himself very well. He gave enough time to think about everything what he wanted to wanted the answers for. So he thought that he go there and he took some fruits with him when he goes to see a Mahatma to carry something. He took that with him and he went brought the fruits and the sweets, whatever he brought, he kept it in front of the Maharshi and paid his obeisances and looked at him. Maharshi didn't even look at him. He just turned around and walked away from there. So Paul Brendan says there at that time, this is in his book, you can read there, by that look, I felt as though, it is his own words, cold water was poured on my vanity, he says. Cold water he has poured on my vanity, the way he looked at me, he said. Completely ignoring me, completely ignoring that I brought some fruits and sweets for you, but Maharshi didn't even care to look at it. And he didn't give any attention. So, what you can imagine at that time, what Paul Brendan felt, isn't it? So, I brought all these things with bhakti and respect, everything, and offered everything to him, but he did not even look at me. He did not even. So, some days before this incident, Paul Brendan met a yogi in Chennai. He met a yogi who was practicing yoga process. And he knew something about yoga process at that time from him. And he thought that probably Maharshi is in such a samadhi state. And he was thinking that, where can I see that samadhi state in somebody in practical life? And how to understand that samadhi state in a person? So that you can only see in a person who is in that state. And that will take time to understand. Many times when we see Mahatmas, we won't even understand why they are Mahatma. Is it not? We won't understand that. We will think everybody is telling he is a Mahatma, so we'll include him in our list. Another Mahatma. In that way. But actually to understand the greatness of a Mahatma, it is not easy. It is not easy. So, Paul Brendan, after this incident, he started becoming a little bit more reflective on the things. He said, there is something missing here. I'm doing everything what I've been told, in the normal system, process, what everybody is doing. But there is no link between me and the Maharshi. Maharshi is not able to connect it up. So what he did was, without saying anything, he sat there, completely silent. And he also noticed, when he sat there, Maharshi was sitting right in front of him. And he could see that, initially there was these thoughts and doubts and everything was coming in. And he felt like asking that to Maharshi, but at the same time, he's not able to express everything to him. How to put it to him? He was not able to get the right way to coin the questions. So he noticed that after a few minutes, the doubts and questions that was coming inside, it were quietly disappearing one after the other. They were not operating anymore. We can see this sometimes. When we are completely absorbed in a lot of work in this world, mind is full of thought waves, isn't it? Full of thought waves. You take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading, your mind will be still there. But suppose you got connected with Bhagavatam in reading process, quietly you will see those thoughts all goes away from inside. You will get more attracted to the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. Because in front of Bhagavatam, all your other things in this world is insignificant. It has no value. And you know that very well. But still, because you are active with those things for so long, those will be going inside churning very strongly. But as soon as you open up Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading through different studies or upadeshams or Katha, whatever it may be, when you are reading through and if you get attracted somewhere, the power of that knowledge is such that other things become insignificant at that time. So, this is the same thing here, that Paul Brendan says there, suddenly he felt inside a total satisfaction, and he felt that there is no question to ask. What's the question to ask? In other words, if your buddhi or intelligence and the mind, if it becomes, if it stops its function, then you are peaceful. If the mind or intelligence, if it stops its function, you are peaceful. When it is keep on working, then you will never be peaceful. You will keep on asking, keep on inquiring, this, that, other, and you are trying to put two and two together, it's not working. Spiritual life is like that. That's the way spiritual life is. So, and you can see that by using our intelligence, we have got into this situation where we are now. Too much of intelligence, isn't it? So, and after a while, Paul Brendan says this, after a while, midday, middle of the day, everybody went for lunch. Everybody went for lunch. Paul Brendan also went with them for the lunch. And he thought that of while taking this prasadam, it is an opportunity to talk. So not to lose that chance. So he decided, thought that maybe I should ask some questions now. And he says, after lunch also, I couldn't ask any questions to him. He came back, Maharshi came back and sat in his chair, wherever he was sitting. I also went and sat in opposite to him and I start looking at him like this, he said. And from lunchtime till evening, I sat there looking at him, whole afternoon, 4-5 hours, looking at Maharshi, he sat there like this. He couldn't ask any questions to him. He realized that time, when he goes out, the mind starts working. When he comes in, the mind stops. He could feel it himself without anybody telling him. When he went, goes out, as soon as he sees the world and the activities in the world, the mind gets absorbed, all questions starts coming up. When he gets inside and sits in front of Maharshi, no activity. Mind is totally shanti state. And in this way, 3 days have gone between Maharshi and Paul Brendan. On the third day, Maharshi was standing there and he was doing something. And Paul Brendan thought, it is not a bad time to ask something. 3 days are gone. So, Maharshi didn't speak English. That was another problem. So, luckily there was somebody who spoke English and Maharshi, Tamil language also. So, he was there. And when he wanted to ask a question, he thought, 3 days I have been looking at you like this. Now, what am I supposed to ask? This question came up inside him. So he felt inside that if I ask any question now, it will look very childish. It will look very childish. So he says there, first of all, this is in his book, I have never felt that he is a person. I never felt he is a person with whom you can speak on equal terms. That's the first thing Paul Brendan realized that. Paul Brendan is highly educated person he was. He was doing big, big things. And intelligent person also. He has traveled a lot in all over the world. Maharshi has never gone anywhere except Tirunamalai. That's the only place he knew in this where he stayed the whole life. He didn't go to school. Few years he went to school. He had enough. He threw it away and ran away from there. From the school also. So, Maharshi, if you look at Maharshi had no knowledge of this world, no interest in this world, didn't know the formalities of this world, how people act and all. Paul Brendan was exactly opposite. Educated, went to university and degrees and all kinds of things, plus traveled widely all over the world. And then Paul Brendan is saying here that intuition is saying, I felt he is not a person with whom you can speak on equal terms. He felt it like that. He felt like that. Because that, on an equal level to talk to him, that courage he had before, he didn't have it. He lost it after seeing this for 3 days. And After some time, when he kept looking at the Maharshi, he felt that he is talking to me through silence all the time. Talking to me. Similarly, it appeared to him that Maharshi also is a person who cannot speak through words, but rather through silence he can communicate much better. And through silence he was communicating with many, many people. And when, not that he is not speaking, but not that the sage is not using words, he says. Paul Brennan says, not that he is not speaking, but he is not using words, but his silence is more eloquent. The silence is more eloquent. Through silence he was able to get the message across to people. So what does that indicate? It's telling us that words does not carry the power of silence. Maunam. You remember when we discussed this, the Dakshinamurti Stotram. When Shiva was instructing Srinarada Maharshi and the four Kumaras, how did he instruct? Through silence. Silence, communication through silence for realized souls in that state, they are more effective through their silence than through their words. Through their words. That is why in the Bhagavadam, you remember when Bhagavadam start, Tene Brahma Hridaya. Is it not? That is how Krishna transmitted the knowledge to Brahma. Janmadhyasya yadonyoyadidharadas chate shabhitnya swarad Tene Brahma Hridaya. Is it not? So Brahma, Krishna didn't come and give a whole discussion on Bhagavadam to Brahma. From heart to heart. Krishna's heart to Brahma's heart. Through silence, Bhagavadam was transmitted. That's why specifically mentioned like that. Janmadhyasya yadonvayadidharadas chartesh abhijna swarat tene Brahma hridaya. From hrit to hrit. The transmission happened. So, this process of teaching, transmitting knowledge from heart to heart, that is not possible from school or college. There is no system in any school or college that's done, isn't it? So, that has to happen from heart to heart. And that is why, if the mind is wandering around all over, then it is difficult. It is difficult. And why? That is why the mind has to be completely in shanti state. If it is full of desires and its mind is operating very powerful inside, then alpavijaram or self-inquiry or knowledge of the self, what Bhagavadam is saying, what Bhagavad Gita is saying, all these things will not work. That is why he is saying here, tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dinaha. See, Prahlada uses those words. Tasmin katham tava gadim vimrshami dina. Prahlada is saying here. Tasmin katham. Tell me how it will work. Tava gadim. On my journey towards you. Vimrshami dina. Because I am suffering like this. With my mind. With my mind. Mind is causing all this problem. It's not picking up the message properly. It is causing disturbances inside. Tasmin katham tavagadim vimrshami dina. That is what he is saying here. Prahlada is saying, I am dina. Dina means my situation is not very good. Prahlada is saying, actually Prahlada is saying all this on a devotee's position. Our behalf he is saying. So what he is saying is, in the next verse if you look you will see in what state I am, he is saying. Jihvai gado chuta vikarshadi ma vidrupta Shishnonyadastha gudaram shravanam kutaschil Ghananyadastha baladrikkocha karma shaktir Bhukhvasabatnamiva gehavadim lunandi Jihvai gado chuta vikarshadi ma vidrupta Shishnonyadastha gudaram shravanam kutaschil Ghananyadastha baladrikkocha karma shaktir Bhukhvasabatnamiva gehavadim lunandi. It's like a person who is married, who have five different wives, he says.
And a thief went to a house to steal something. But the man living in the house, he has got 5 wives. And they are all arguing each other, quarreling each other. So the thief says, I can't steal anything because they are all awake. They are all there. By then it became bright in the morning. And all 5 of them are in the same house. Whole night there was argument between them. Bahwa sabatyam iva gehavadim lunandi. Prahlada's example, he say here. That jihvaigadochida vikarshari ma vidrupta. Our situation is like that. Tongue is saying, I want to eat some nice food. Tongue is demanding. Isn't it? Sumptuous prasadam, we say. We want. And then we think, oh, after Bhagavatam, will there be prasadam or not? The tongue is already making the plan there. And so tongue is saying that we have to have prasadam after the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So tongue is thinking, what will be there for prasadam? So, grihabalayade janaha, like a dog, our mind is operating. And all our tools for our sense gratification is pulling us in different directions. That's what he's saying here. Jihvaigadochita vikarshati mavidrupta shishnonyadasta udaram shravanam kudaschil. The skin, sense of touch, that's demanding its own gratification. The stomach is demanding its gratification. Genitals demanding its gratification. Then all the other senses. Ears, eyes, nose, all of them. Ghanonyadas chapaladrik kocha karma shakti. The nose is saying that it wants to smell something very nice. Chapaladrik means that eyes are saying, must go on holiday and look at some nice places, wander around there. So, bahva savatyamiva gehabadim lunandi, kocha karma shakti. So, you can see that bahva savatyamiva gehabadim lunandi, like 5 different wives pulling a husband in 5 different directions, similarly these senses are pulling in all different directions. Added to that, what is the problem? Kocha karma shakti. That karma vasana inside, that is not allowing you to sit quietly. It creates that urge inside to go to work and work hard. Not only work, work very hard. And even though we get very old, still it is saying there, go and do this work, that work, and all other things, and this disturbing inside. The karma vasana is not going away. Till the body drops, the karma vasana will come, keep coming. That, isn't it? So, a person who has married many wives and how he suffers from that, the jiva inside, in this body, under the control of all the senses, under their control, it's suffering. It's suffering. So, that suffering of the jiva is what Prahlada is talking about here, in this verse. Jihvaigadochita vikarshati mavidrutta shishnonyadasta gudaram shravanam kutaschil granonyadas chapaladruk kocha karma shaktir bahuva sabatnam iva gehabadim lunandi. All those forces operating in that verse is causing problems to us. 5 senses of knowledge, senses of action. They are all pulling different directions. Added to all that, we have got this karma vasana inside. That is forcing us to go and do karma in everywhere. And that we are unable to stop that. Because it's so powerful, it creates that urge, go and do this. So, Prahlada is a little boy, 5-year-old boy. How is he able to say all these things? He's talking all these things for our behalf, he's saying. Suffering of the soul. Suffering of the soul. So, without that shanti or samadhi, happiness inside, and this jiva, which is struggling in this world, and that deep suffering, when Prahlada is seeing that in us, the deep suffering what we go through, that in order to save us from this situation, what we are here now, seeing that Mahatmas, because of their compassion for us, they are trying here, somehow or the other, to get us out from this situation. Because Prahlada knew more than anybody else the conditioned nature of a soul, how conditioning through conditioning the jiva suffers here. That's what he is saying this to Narasimha. He says, this is their state. I feel compassion for them. All Mahatmas feel, Sri Narada Maharshi feels compassion. Rishis feel compassion for us. So they want us to, want to get us out from here, from this mess here. So, therefore, Mahatma says, please come, please come. Bhagavatam is also saying to us. And they say that we won't, Mahatma says, we don't tell lies. We are telling you the truth. And there is a way to live in this world without being fearful of death. And even after talking about that, the message is not getting through. Message is not getting through. So that pain, what the jiva is experiencing inside, when does that come to an end? When he gets the association with a realized soul, a jnani. So jnani, or a great soul, is not a person actually. It is a spark. It's a spark of that knowledge. It's not a person. Because person, once you say it's a person, there's personality comes, ego comes, everything comes. And jnani's situation is that he is not able to do anything independently. He is not free. Upanishad says that he is like a whirlwind. He comes. And, or just like the sun and the moon, he comes. It's another power, natural power in this world. For us, when we look at him, it will appear as though he has got his body, the mind, and a personality and everything. But if they were like a personality, they would have managed to take everybody away from here. Just like you can see here, heat is an energy. If you use the heat, then you can have the benefit, whatever purpose you want to use it for. Similarly, jnanis or realized souls also, they are a force in this world. On their own, they can't do anything. But why would they feel compassionate then? Because that compassion in them is their power. Their power itself is that compassion. So, just like we have a mind inside, that's a power in us, isn't it? The mind, it has its own way of working. This compassion in a realized soul is their power, is their mind. The inside is full of compassion for others. And if you ask the reason for that, there is no reason behind it. And if that compassion in them does not help others, then to the human being, it will go and work with the animals. That's the way it is in them. But that you can notice in all the great self-realized soul. If they have not shown compassion to somebody, it will go start distributing to other living entities in this world. So, sometimes it turns into other animals, their compassion for other living, because they are not seeing us, human body, a higher body, an animal body, a lower body. They are not seeing it like that. In the human body, in the animal's body, in the birds, in the bees, everywhere, what they are seeing is that spiritual spark inside. That's what they see, not looking at the form. So that compassion, if it is not properly flowing to the people properly, it will start flowing towards other living entities, towards other living entities. In one instance, in Maharshi's case, they were saying that he had some amazing relationship with the animals. Amazing relationship with the animals. So, in one night, when he went to pass water in the ground from the ashram, one of his servants went with him. One of his servants means one who was associating with him, went with the Maharshi to see what was happening. That when you, because in the dark those days, it was difficult, there was no proper sufficient lighting and everything. So at that time, when he saw there, that when Maharshi has passed water and coming, that time a dog goes up to him and start licking him. A dog starts licking him. And he kept on licking on Maharshi's body, and Maharshi just sat there looking at that dog, and the dog was not in a very healthy state either. It had all kinds of diseases in the body. Afterwards, Maharshi is talking to the dog and says to him, "Are you satisfied now, licking this body?" So Maharshi comes back and he goes to go and lie down in his couch where he was lying there. And when next day, what they saw was the dog was lying outside dead. Dog was lying outside dead. So it is sometimes very difficult to know which jiva in which body is ready for self-realization and how that will happen. All these things are unknown to us. We are completely ignorant about everything. So when a jiva comes to this world, when he comes here, it is coming with a purpose. It's coming with a purpose. So this particular dog, dog's habit, you know, in the ashram, there's a lot of these stray dogs wandering around. They won't allow if a new one comes. They will bark at him. Say, "This is our territory, you have no entry here." Dogs also impose their rules. So other dogs were barking at him, this particular one, which was sick, this sick dog. The other dogs were barking at him and was not letting him to come inside. That was the only opportunity it got to come in that night. And this is what has happened. So for a jnani, for who is in that state, for a jnani who is in that state, if he has come to this situation with him, like in the Maharshi's case, then there is no thing called mind inside, personality inside. Some force is operating from that, through that body. Something is happening. That's all. And somebody bringing him, making him to do certain things and taking him back and utilizing him for that purpose. And which jiva will get benefited from that, it is very difficult to say. It's very difficult to say. And because it is that compassion when comes through a realized person like that, that is the only opportunity for a jiva to get out from here, to get out of this. And that nature of that compassion is Prahlada discussing here, that jiva, his suffering, it has to come to an end at some point in life, isn't it? You keep on suffering in this world, when is that end going to happen? That is why he is saying in the next verse, if you look, see what Prahlada has to say. Evam sokarma patitam bhavavaidaranyam anyonya janma marana ashanabhidabhidam pashyanjanam sovaravigraha vairamaitram handedi parasarapi prahimodamadhyam. Evam sokarma patitam bhavavaidaranyam anyonya janma marana ashanabhidabhidam pashyanjanam sobara vigraha vairamaitram handedi parajarapi pruhi mudamadhyaham. Prahlada is recognizing our state in this world. This is our situation, he is saying here. Why are we in this situation as we are now? He is saying, evam so karma patitam. Karmam is behind it. That's all you can say. Karmam is behind it. Why have we been put into this situation in this world? So karma patidam. Prahlada saying, evam so karma patidam. Karmam has put us into this situation. Adau karma prasangad, Upanishad says there. So there is a connection with karmam and our present situation. And that is an answer in a relative plane. In a relative plane. There is no other answer you can give. That why different people are in different situation in this world, different bodies, different experiences in life, different happiness and distress. Everybody is feeling here. Why so different in everyone? The reason behind, Prabhupada is saying, evam so karma patidam. So, we may feel that in this lifetime, we have some connection with some people here. Having come here to this world, in this life, we have some connection with a few people here. Isn't it? So, and that is very difficult to explain that. Why this connection with a few people in this world? Not with everybody. But why is that with some people we have some connection here? So, that is why this, in the psychology there, what they call it, parapsychology. There is a particular part of that. And in the book, they will write all these things. Once a mother was hypnotized. They hypnotized. And when she was hypnotized, she started speaking so many things from her past. And all the other people whom she is related to, connected with in this life, she started speaking all about that. And a big psychiatrist was also there, listening to all these things. So what happened was, when this hypnotism happened, when he hypnotized her, that lady, she was able to say even the history of the psychiatrist. His psychiatrist's history, she started speaking. He started speaking. So, psychiatry is a very complex thing in this world. What we present today in the name of psychology and psychiatrist and all, and their thing is only very limited. They are playing with fire inside, this thing called mind. We don't know the power of this mind, isn't it? So, somehow or the other, when the psychiatrist started talking to this lady, she not only spoke about herself, she was also able to speak about everything about the psychiatrist as well. Somehow or the other, it came out from her, but that's called a niyati. Psychiatry is not able to say, reveal everything. Yogis know a lot of things. Yogis have the capacity to know these vasanas inside. And only if they have that mercy from Krishna, Ishvara Niyati, then only it will come out from them also. Otherwise, it is difficult to cross that barrier. Because the reason why we have come into connection with some people in this world is due to some connection with them in some previous life. Somewhere along the line we had some connection with them. That is the reason in this lifetime you have come to connect with them. And that it is very difficult to establish that for ordinary people in their life. So here he is saying here, evam swakarma patitam bhava vaidaranyam anyonya janma maranashana bhida bhidam pashyanjanam swapara vigraha vairamaitram. Look at the way Prahlada said that. He says that due to karmam, this present situation in life, in this present situation, some relationship with some people, due to that, what is happening? When they are living, you feel happy. When they die, you feel unhappy. You are not feeling unhappy when somebody else is dying. But you feel unhappy with those people with whom you are coming into contact with. When they die, you feel unhappy. Why? He's asking, Prahlada is asking, evam so karma badidam bhava vaidaranyam anyonyam. Mutually something has happened, and therefore, janmam maranam ashana bhida bhidam. When they are born, you feel happy with their birth in your family. They are born. And when they die in your family, you feel miserable also. Why you are not feeling the same with others who are taking birth and who are dying? Why you don't feel that? Only because they have come in your family. The reason behind that is, Prahlada is saying, evam so karma patitam. In previous time, some karmam, vasana, has connected you with them. And that is continuation of that. And that is why he is saying here, that purva karma bandham, that karmam that is followed from purva janam, that is cause, it is a continuation of that. This life is nothing but a continuation of that life in the previous life, what we led somewhere, wherever it is, we don't know. The information is not available. That barrier, Krishna won't allow us to cross. He has put the barrier there, isn't it? So you can see this Anyonya Bhava Vaidaranyam. He says Vaidarani. Vaidarani means, Vaidarani is a river which is difficult to cross in the hellish planets. Vaidarani river. So material existence is like this Vaidarani. Vaidarani river. In the Garuda Puranam, if you read, you will see about this Vaidarani river spoken. That when you leave this body and your journey back, you will come across this river, Vaidarani. And Puranam says, to get that Vaidarani river across, you give charity, because it is so difficult to cross that river, Vaidarani river. But, and therefore there is certain charities recommended for crossing the Vaidarani river. Prahlada is saying, even living here itself is a Vaidarani. Vaidarani river. Evam so karma padidam bhava vaidaranyam anyonya janma marana ashana bhida bhidam. In the association of these people whom you have come across here in this life, with whom you had previous connection in some other life, now you have reconnected with them again in this life. And what's happening now? Anyonyam, mutually, both side feels in the birth, in the death. Janmam, maranam, ashana, bhida, bhidam. And always fearful about them, and they fearful about you. They fearful about you. So, he's saying, it is impossible to come out of this fearful existence. Anyonya janma, maranashana, bhida, bhidam. For example, two people join together, a husband and a wife, and another living entity comes. Another living entity comes. So, and similarly, somebody else becomes responsible for somebody's death. Somebody becomes responsible for someone's birth, and somebody becomes responsible for somebody's death. Similarly, nobody knows who is responsible for whom. We don't even know who is going to take birth in the family. Say, husband and wife, a man and woman got married, then they have no idea who is going to come and join them in the family, in the husband and wife, isn't it? And similarly, when you get sometime when people get killed by somebody, you don't even know why that person is responsible for this person's death. Sometimes you can see when murder happens, on an instinct, somebody get killed by somebody else. And you don't even know why that is responsible. That person is responsible for this particular person's death. And similarly, you can also see in life, somebody gives food to somebody to eat. Somebody gives food to somebody. And somebody does not give food to somebody else. So who gets food from whom? Who doesn't get food from somebody? All these things are unknown, isn't it? When you look at our own life, you can see how these things are happening. That is what Prahlada is saying here. And similarly, when we are frightened of some people in this world, some people we are frightened about them, they create fear in us. So, in this way, in this duality, mutually, birth, death, fear, all these things is created in this relationship, in family life particularly. Somehow we came here, then the thing called family came up around us, is it not? Where did that family come from? Prahlada is saying, from previous lifetime, you had some interaction with them, some accounts are not clear, they come back again to continue with the association. And in that relationship you are living, but what happens, interesting, here it says, that bhava vaidaranyam anyonya janma maranashana bhida bhidam. In that relationship you have thinking that you are concerned about them, they are concerned about you. They are thinking, and in their birth and death you are feeling happy and distressed. Similarly, in your birth and death they are also feeling happy and distressed. Why this relationship? Why are we not feeling happy and distressed when somebody else is dying or taking birth? Completely indifferent to everything else. Janma marana ashana bhida bhidam. Then he says, Pashyanjanam sovara vigraha vairamaitram. While all these things are going on, only to those people we have friendship and enmity. Within this circle, all these things are happening. Sovara vigraha vairamaitram. Somehow or the other we keep friendship with some people, and somehow or the other we hate some people. Where is the connection, this? Why is it happening in that way? And one person is talking about the other person, and that person is talking about this person, and mutually there is arguments and fight. And seeing all these things, Prahlada is saying here, Pashyanjanam sovara vigraha vairamaitram handedi parachara pipruhi mudamadhyaham. Handedi parachara pipruhi mudamadhyaham. He says that sovara vigraha vairamaitram, that these different names and forms, what is around us, the name and form, they are all just name and form. In these names and forms we have taken so seriously, and through those names and forms we create all these things. Sovara vigraha vairam maitram. Vairam means enmity, maitram means friendship. Friendship and enmity towards these different names and forms we create in this life. And handedi parajara pibrahi mudamadhya. That is there any more foolish than that? He is asking that question here. So, Prahlada is saying here that I don't know when this is going to come to an end, this whole thing, this cycle. And same vasanas what we have created in this lifetime, the karma what we have done, in the next life, some of the people who have left in this life will come back again, and some new people will join with whom you have created more karma. They will also join you in your next life. In this way, this cycle is going on continuously, never coming to an end. So that is what Prahlada is saying here, that through my own effort, I won't be able to escape from this mess. From this mess. Because this samsara, material existence, he is saying here, it's a huge, big dream. It is. It's a big dream. This will only come to an end if you stop this dream. He says to Narasimham, Narasimham, you have to stop this dream, what I am going through. Otherwise it's not going to come to an end. That is why in the next verse you see what he says. Ko anyatrade akhila guru bhagavan prayasam uttaranesya bhavasambhava lobahetoho mudheshu vai mahad anugrahamartha bando kim tena te priyajanan anusenadamna. Ko anvatrade akhila guru bhagavan prayasam uttaranesya bhavasambhava lobahetoho mudheshu vai mahad anugrahamartha bando kim tena te priyajanan anusenadamna. That. You, first of all, Prahlada is talking to us about the nature of material existence, which is called the samsara. That is what he has spoken in those 40 and 41. The two verses, he is talking about the nature of material existence. Why we are in this situation like today. Some contact with a few people around us, and in their happiness and distress, you are seriously absorbed in that. they are also equally absorbed with us. Why this has happened? Because it is a continuation of the previous life, where we had some connection with them in some form. Evam janam evam swakarma baditam bhava vaitaranyam anyonya janma marana ashana bhida bhidam pashya anjanam swapara vigraha vaira maitram. And what happened in this life now? Is it coming to an end? No. In this life again, this cycle continues, plus we have added some more people into the system. Extras have come in. They have come into this. So, with all this in behind, Handedi Parajara Pibrahi Moda Madhyam, the cycle gets bigger, the circle gets bigger. In the next life, they will all come back now to finish their, settle their accounts. They will also come. And we also have some accounts to settle with them. So another life, another body, another material cycle continues like this. That is why, Ko anvatrate akhila guru bhagavan prayasam. How can I stop this, he says. How can I stop it? Uttarane siya bhava sambhavalobahe toho mudheshu vai mahadanugraham arthabandho kim tenate priyajanan anusenadamna. Mudeshuvai Mahadanugraham Arthabandho. Mahadanugraham, Mahatma's blessings. With that it is possible. Otherwise it's not possible. So that is the situation here, that material existence in Bhagavadam, material existence is considered to be like a dream. Like a dream. And till we realize it, it will remain like this. So, there is no end to this. In several places in the Bhagavadam, you will see Swapna Maya Manoratham. The words used. Swapnam is dream, Maya is the illusion, and Manoratham, the mind. It's like a dream, the mind and the Maya all together, playing this scene in front of us. And we are a part of that too, very seriously as well. So, and he's saying here, in that verse he says, Parachara Piprahi Muda Madhya, that Parachara Piprahi Moda Madhya. Prahlada is saying Parachara to Narasimha, he says here. That he is living in this world, Prahlada is saying, about us. Of course, we are not able to understand what Prahlada is saying many times, because Prahlada is speaking from the point of view that to tell Narasimha that he experiences the miseries of material life to that extent after being gone through Hiranyakashipu's experience. That was enough for him. But he is saying to Narasimha that, is the situation with the people in this world anyway different? No. They are also suffering heavily here. But that as long as you are within this situation of this material existence, it is very difficult to understand what is Krishna's position. That we don't even know today that there is an escape route from here, from this material misery, isn't it? We don't even know that there is an escape route from here. And what possibility is saying here, when we are so confused in this life here, everybody is confused here, isn't it? You can see it all levels if you look at it. Confusion, confusion everywhere. People don't know. It is an unfortunate situation. You can see that, just an example, that when this shooting happened in America, isn't it, yesterday or some, What did the president say? He says, it has all become a routine now. Somebody takes a gun and shoots people, that's routine now. Lot of people getting killed, routine now. Me, the president, he said, comes back and says the same thing again and again, it's become a routine now. Even that has become a routine. Even he is saying he's helpless about it. The gun lobby who says we should all have guns, they are not going to change their position. That's also become a routine now. So you can see even people like them, they are feeling helpless about it. They don't know what to do about it. This helplessness state in this world exists for everybody. For everyone is in that helpless. We don't know what to do about it. So Prahlada is saying here that as long as you are within this creation in this way, you won't know how to understand how to get the escape from here. Parestidaha. So he says that he says here that you are outside this. He says to Narasimha, you are outside this circle where we are inside. We are all inside. That's why. Ko anvatrade ahilaguru bhagaval prayasam uttaranesya bhavasambhavalo bahedo mudheshuvai mahadanugrahamartabandho kim tenate priyajanan anusenatamna. My situation, Prahlada is saying here, I am stuck in this. Please take me out from here. Please, ko anvatrade akhila guru bhagavan prayasa. And if I decide to come out from here, it is not possible. Because you are saying to me, due to your karma, you have fallen into this situation. Please don't say that to me. Prahlada says to Narasimha, please don't say that my karma is responsible. Because why does he say like that? Because as far as compassion is concerned, for your compassion there is no limit. Uttaranesya bhavasambhava lobha hetu. That means for your compassion there is nothing that cannot be done due to your compassion. Your compassion is much more powerful than the after effect of my own karma. It's more powerful than that. So he says to him, therefore do not say to me that you are suffering because of your karma. Don't say that to me. Prahlada says to Narasimha, he says, that is why he is asking in the next verse to Narasimha. He says, Naivodvije paradurattaya vaidaranyam tvadvirya gayana mahamrudam agnachittaha shojeta do vimukha cheda samindriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudduhato vimudhan. Naivodvije paradurattaya vaidaranyam tvadvirya gayana mahamrudam agnachittaha shojeta do vimukha cheda samindriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudduhato vimudhan. Prahlada is asking this question, that saying, Prahlada is having a conversation with Narasimham. Narasimham says to Prahlada, shall I get you out from here? Prahlada says, no. I will suffer, but I can live with this. What I'll do is, in the middle of all these things, I will constantly remember you and meditate upon you, and I'll chant your holy name, and in this way I will pass my time in this world. Why? Because he says here that that for me that there is experience of you in my heart inside, experience of Krishna inside, and that is like a nectar. That's like a nectar for me. And because I have got that in my heart, you can leave me, says Prahlada says to Narasimham. But for me the priority, Prahlada says to Narasimham, is all these others here. Pointing out to everybody else, he says, and all of them are crying here, and if I escape from here, that doesn't look very good. Prahlada's great heart, he's saying here. So I will not accept liberation till you liberate everybody else from here. Because when I see them, I feel the distress more. When I see them suffering here. And that's what he says here. Shoche tato vimukha chedasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimuthan. Maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimuthan. He says. Because the problem with these lot, he says, they won't listen. Even if you tell them, they won't listen. And they are not finding any taste for bhakti, jnanam. They don't find any taste. Instead, they are getting a little bit of taste from material sense enjoyment. Little bit. They are getting here and there. And they'll work very hard in this world. And they'll get a little happiness from that. And they are happy with that. What to do? How to change these people? That's what Prahlada is saying about us. These lot, he's saying, he said they'll work very hard and they'll get some little bit happiness here and there. And they prefer that than escaping from this place. And that is the most difficult thing. I do not want to go back at this point, he said. First, let them get out from here. And that is what he's saying here. Remember the story of Narayana Bhrantan story I mentioned before. That whole day he used to push this huge boulder stone all the way to the top of the hill. And by evening he'll get there. The stone will get to the top of that hill. And he had this elephantiasis, or what they call one. Those who live in the seashore, they get that. It's a particular kind of mosquito bites, and the whole leg gets frozen. Whole leg swollen. It gets swollen. So he had that in his leg, in one of his leg. And with that, it was painful as well. He used to roll this stone all the way to the top of the hill. And by evening 4 or 5 o'clock, he'll get there with the stone. And then what he used to do? Push it down all the way back to the lower part of the hill. And there was a lake there, and the stone will come and fall into the lake, and when it falls into the lake, the water will get splashed. And he used to watch that and enjoy it. So he was doing this day after day after day. So people asked him, "You must be crazy to do this every single day like this." So Narayana Bhrantan says to them, "It's very nice to watch this," he said. "Even though it's very hard to get the stone all the way there, but when it comes down and when it hits the water, you get that splashing of the water. That's an interesting thing. For a few seconds you get that, isn't it?" And so they said to him, "For this one moment happiness, do you have to struggle like this whole day?" He says, "That's why everybody calls you as a mad person, crazy person," he says. And he says to them, Narayana Bhrantan told them, "What are you doing actually?" He says, "You are also doing exactly the same thing like I am doing. That whole day you are working, and what's your little happiness you are getting? For a few seconds life happiness in this world. You are willing to sacrifice all your life for that purpose." So similarly, he is saying here, that whole life, Prahlada is also saying here, Naivodduje paradurakte avaidaranyam tudvirya gayana mahamrudam magnachitaha shochetato vimukhacheda samindriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimuthan. Whole lifetime for this little happiness struggled very hard, and for a little happiness worked very hard. And if you ask the question that, "Are you happy now after working all this life?" The answer to that is, "Maya sukhaya bharam udduhato vimuthan," he says there. That means that, just like the bull carries a heavy weight, similarly, thinking that some happiness will come in life at some time in later in life, whole life we are working very, very hard, isn't it? And this weight I'm carrying on my shoulders. And in the meanwhile, Maya is beating me from all sides. Maya is beating me all sides. So no matter how much the Maya has beaten me, still I won't leave it. The story of the donkey, isn't it? That the donkey doesn't get anything from the washerman. Washerman doesn't give anything. He keeps the donkey. Why? Because it doesn't require any maintenance. You don't have to give anything. Donkey will go and eat something, whatever is there outside. So, but every morning he will load the donkey with all the clothes. And donkey think he has to do it. He's serving the master, the washerman. He walks all the way to the river bank with all the clothes. He waits there. When he is washing the clothes, he has got the freedom to eat whatever he wants, whatever that is available there. Sometimes paper, sometimes grass, whatever things he gets, eats. After that, when the clothes are ready after the washing, then it has to be brought back. And the donkey has to be ready for that. So, the donkey gets beaten all the way, both ways, going, coming back also. He gets old. Very old, he can't do it anymore. Yajamana duhidra parinaya. That is the situation with that donkey. And that donkey does not get anything from this master. It has to find its own food, but it has to do the work for the master. Free labor, isn't it? Slavery-like situation. And this master, the washerman, had a daughter. And there were inquiries going on about the marriage of that daughter. But somehow the other, the horoscope, they were trying to match. It didn't match with the proper boy and the girl. So one day, the washerman got so upset with the whole thing, it's not coming to an end, this matchmaking. So he thought that either it will say the horoscope is not matching, or the girl will say, I don't like the boy, I don't want to marry him. Something like that. So marriage was not happening. And he was getting worked up, our washerman. So one day he says to this girl, his daughter, that if this marriage doesn't happen, I will marry you to that donkey outside, he said. To her. And the donkey heard this. So donkey thought that day, that one day she might get married to me. Similarly, our life in this world, one day everything is going to be wonderful. Just like the donkey is waiting, we are also waiting in this world for that happy days to come in this life, which never comes. Which will never come. That is what is, if you look at the world, you can see what is prompting them to work so hard day after day after day. That this hope that someday after retirement everything will be fantastic. And then going on cruises all over the world, making big, big plans, enjoying life, in the retired life. When they touch, and suddenly what happens? You get some sickness and you're down, finished. Everything is finished. All your plan making gone. Whatever that was happening. So, similarly, donkey was expecting that happiness is going to come one day. So, he is willing to accept all the beatings, whatever the washerman was giving, and all the weight, what he had to carry. Just like we also in our material life, we are thinking that this will happen, that will happen, and thinking that everything will be alright, even at the old age, we don't want to give it up. Even when the old age, that is what he says, angam galidam phalidam mundam. So, Prahlada is saying here, that when I see this scene in this world, I got this human body, I got the opportunity for Salsangam, and I got a birth in the land of the sages, and even spite of all that, I have no attraction for self-realization, for spiritual life, he says here. What should I do? He says here, Shoje tato vimukha chedasam indriyartha maya sukhaya paramudduhato vimudhan. Though at least this much can be done. What is that? Not to be indifferent to self-realization. Not to be indifferent towards that. But they don't want to hear about bhakti. They don't want to hear about knowledge. Bhakti or jnanam, both of them, they want to keep away from that. And even though possibility of satsangam and possibility of cultivation of bhakti, we have got also so much shastram to explain to us the processes. And then added to that, all the great rishis, the austerities and penances they have performed and the knowledge and realizations they have given us. Jnana Shastram, in spite of all that, Vimukha Chetasa means who is indifferent to the whole facilities available. Vimukha Chetasa. They just don't want it. They say, I'm not interested. Indriya Artha, but attached to the gratification of the senses and thinking that this world is going to give us happiness, and struggle and struggle and struggle in this world the whole life, and at the end, without achieving anything, when they die and leave this world, when you see that, I feel sorry about that, Prahlada is saying here. That is Prahlada's compassion for others. He's saying, Naiva odvije paraduratteya vaitaranyam Tudvīryagāyena mahāmurda magnacittāha Shoche tato vimukha chedasa indriyārtha Māyā sukhāya paramudduhato vimudhān. So, there are so many rishis in this, great personalities in this world. They are all instructing them, but Prahlada says, the problem with these rishis are, they have gone into the forest. They were more concerned about themselves, and they are sitting in solitude and isolation, absorbed in the spiritual life, of their own spiritual life. Therefore, they are not able to give any serious time or energy for those in this world who are suffering with this. That is what he is saying there in the next verse. Prayena deva munaya so vibhukti kama maunam charandi vijane na parārthanishtāha Naidan vihaya kripanan vimamukshameko nanyam todasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashyem. Prayena deva munayaha. Great rishis, devadas also, so vimukti kama, desiring their own liberation, maunam charandi vijane na parartha nishta. That they remain in solitude and silence, developing their spiritual life of self-inquiry and cultivation of knowledge. Parartha nishtam. Naidan yuhaya krimanan. But they are no concern for the world outside. Vimumuksham ego nanyam to dasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashye. In this situation, what am I supposed to do? He is saying there. Prahlada is saying to him, saying to Narasimham like this, that when you look at these people, that Mahatma, great Mahatmas sometimes have this problem with them, that they go into solitude and they are only concerned about themselves. But we shouldn't think that Prahlada is accusing them. He is not accusing them. They have become Mahatma because they spent time like that, and that's how they have become Mahatmas, isn't it? That Prahlada is saying here, they became Mahatma after they went into solitude and engaged in self-inquiry. That is how they have become Mahatma. Otherwise they would not have, if they have been lived with us, for like us, what chance is they going to become Mahatma? That will never become, happen. They became Mahatmas because they went into the forest and engaged in spiritual life, in solitude, inquired about the truth, and reflected heavily on the Shastram, what they learned, and performed austerities and penances. In this way, they reach that stage. They reach that stage. And Prahlada is saying here, for them also, if they develop a desire in them for the liberation of others, then you will also get liberated. You will also get liberated. Prahlada's logic is that. Prahlada is saying to them, that rather than going and performing on your own, If you develop a desire for the benefit of others, of your realizations, and able to inspire others also to come to this process of knowledge and bhakti, then in due course of time, that will also help your spiritual life, your own spiritual life. Prahlada says here, you will also get liberated, because liberation means to get freedom from selfishness. First thing is that, isn't it? Selfishness in us. So, once that, when does the selfishness goes? When the ego goes. When the ego goes. It's the ego that is dictating to be selfish from within. So, as soon as you think, I should get it. As long as that I is demanding things from here, inside, all our so-called silence, austerities, sadhana, all these things will not have its desired effect. All this sadhana, everything, ultimately, where does all sadhana end? All sadhana comes to an end when you become totally free from selfishness or selflessness. Freedom from selfishness. Totally freedom from selfishness. So all the sadhana, everything, ultimately you have to go and leave it in that state. Selfless, isn't it? So, never in selfishness. What Prahlada is saying here, the rishis who go into the forest, or the jnanis or yogis who go into the forest and practice spiritual life there on their own in solitude, this problem is there for them. Prayena deva munaya so vimukti kama, thinking about their own liberation, maunam charandi vijanena parartha nishta. They live in silence, they practice their own spiritual life, and they have established themselves in that state. But naivan yuhaya kripanan vimamuksham ego nanyam todasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashye. But what's happening is that is a miserliness in them. Kripanatvam. Kripanatvam means being miser, thinking about themselves. They do not have that big heart what Prahlada had. Prahlada is saying there, actually, if you distribute these realizations to others, inspire others in spiritual life, in that process, your own selfishness will go. You will become selfless, you will get that benefit. You won't become selfish in that process. And that way, it will lead into your own liberation. That is the logic Prahlada is putting forward there. That is what he is saying here. That compassion, Mahatmas used to say like this, that ultimately it will all end up in selflessness. Selflessness. You can see in the Bhagavatam, this stage happening in certain people's life. That how it leads into liberation. For example, death. What is death helps for a person? Death is such a thing. Krishna, out of mercy, gives us that opportunity to die. And what does death does to us? Death creates fear in us, isn't it? Death creates fear in us that we have to leave this body. That fear builds up inside. If a person is very intelligent, or if a person has understood about death properly if he has understood, he can use this opportunity Krishna has given for self-realization, thing called death. Otherwise, if you do not, that is only for those who have got that proper discrimination in them. For them, death is an advantage for them in their spiritual life. Those who knows what death means. But those who do not understand anything about death, for them, death is misery. And at the end, what death brings to them is a lot of unhappiness in another body. In Bhagavatam, take for example, Parikshit. As soon as he, what did Parikshit say when he was cursed by the boy, Shringi? He said, Krishna has given me a golden opportunity, he says. Look at Parikshit's analysis. If you remember in the first canto what he said? Evam vimarshita patho, he says. Vimarshanam. Thought about this. That is Parikshit's intelligence. Just see that. In the first canto, in the 19th chapter, I think he says there. Parikshit says about this experience, he says. That. Vimarshita Bhathoyam. Vimarshita Bhathoyam means that Yeah. All those verses, if you read what Parikshit had to say, nobody has spoken like this about death. Why? That is the intelligence, Parikshit's intelligence. He is saying, Aho vayam dhanyadamam ranvanam mahattamanugrahaniya shilaha rajyam kulam brahmana padashaujal brahmana padashaujal dural drusishtam badagarhya karmam tasyaiva meghasya paravaresho vyasakta chittasya graheshu abhishnam nurvedamulam dvija shabarubam yatra prasakto bhayam ashudhate. Normally, when death comes, what is the first feeling in us? Bhayam, fear, isn't it? Immediately, the thought of death, what it brings to us is fear. Is fear. He says, Nurvedamulam dvija shabarubam. Nurveda means, Vairagyam happened to me because of this death. Fear of death. I got Vairagyam. We are endeavoring whole life to develop some Vairagyam here. Isn't it? Even a slightest Vairagyam, we are finding it very hard to get. Is it not? Attachment here, attachment there, attachment everywhere, in one way or the other. Attachment to this own body itself, so strong. Attachment to family, attachment to money, attachment to this. And even though theoretically we understand about detachment, unable to break away from that. Parikshit saying, this person, this Sringi, he handed over to me in a plate in Nirveda Vairagyam. In a plate he handed over to me by cursing me that I will die in 7 days' time. See how Vairagyam comes. That's what he's saying. Nirveda Moolam Dija Shabarubam. This Brahmana boy, he put his tongue out and said something, that's the end of my life. This is how this life is worth. Yatra Prasakto Bhayamashudate Tam Mochayadam Pratiyandu Vipra Gangaja Devi Drada Chittamishe Dijova Srishtam Kuhagas Takshagova Ashatulam Gayada Vishnu Gadha. Then let Takshaga come now. I am not bothered. Let Takshaga come. All I want to hear is about Krishna. Ashatulam Gayada Vishnu Gadha Punashavuyal Bhagavatyanande Rati Prasangaschatada Ashrayeshu Mahal Suyam Uyam Upayami Srishtim Maitritsu Sarvasta Namo Dvijebhyam. So, in this way, he is saying here that this was a golden opportunity given to me by Krishna, this thing called death. This thing called death. So, you can see from people's life, many times if you observe, you will see this. Some intelligent people, when they realized that the death is at the doorstep, they utilize that opportunity to realize the truth. Only in exceptional cases this has happened. Ravana Maharshi's example, same. He felt that night that he is going to die, and after death what will happen, he thought. That turned his whole attention away from the world. That's the day he left home, walked away from home, without any money, nothing in the hand. Because the fear of death the night before, in the dream, the fear of death, overpowered him to that extent, he started thinking that, what's going to happen after death? What's going to happen? Whereas we, what are we doing? We are trying to protect this body as much as possible, as long as possible. But finally we know we will lose it. This is our activity, isn't it? We are trying to maintain this body, protect this body, look after this body. And we say, oh, we need this body for devotional service and all. So somehow we like to maintain this as long as possible. But if you look at Parikshit Maharaj, and others also in the Bhagavatam, when the death fear of death came, immediately first thing what they did, they utilized that opportunity for self-realization. That's what they did. And so Parikshit, what did he do? He went and sat in the banks of the river, Ganga River, and said that, and by Krishna's arrangement, all the rishis started coming there. Parikshit just sat there, decided to give up his body, sitting there, prayobhavesham. As it's called in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Prayobhavesha means just sitting without eating, sleeping, just leaving the body. So, Nirvedamulam, but to do that, you need that frame of mind, complete detachment from this world. To give up the attachment to the palace, attachment to the family, attachment to all the wealth what he had a lot more than what we have got. So that is more difficult for him, isn't it? Parikshit had the whole planet under his control.
So it says Nirvayada Mulam Dijashabarubam Yatra Prasakto Bhayama Shudate. So he says, if you look at that verse, he says fifth verse in the 19th chapter. How did he come to this day? Conclusion, he says, Aham vihayema mamam chalokam vimarshito heyataya purasthal Krishna angreseva madhimanyamanam upavishal prayamamartanadhyam. Aham vihayema mam, aham vihayema mamam chalokam vimarshito. Parishit Maharaj actually analyzed this world so well. He analyzed this world. What is permanent here? We are unable to do like the way he did. How could he do that? Because he got this curse from the boy, Sringi. When Sringi cursed him, he understood that what is in this world, what is permanent here? He started thinking. And that made him, that is why he is saying, Vimarshito Heyavaya Purasal. Aham vihayemamam chalokam vimarshido heyadaya purastal. And he understood only one thing. What did he come to conclusion? Krishnangri seva adhimanyamanam upavishal prayam amartyanadhyam. Only taking Krishna shelter. Krishna shelter. Krishnangri seva. Now when we say like that, what you have to understand there is, when Krishnangri Seva means inquiring after the truth, that is Krishnangri Seva. Because he didn't do anything. He was not chanting the holy name. He was absorbed in the reality or the inquiring about the self. Krishnangri Seva means inquiring after the absolute truth. Adhimanyamanam ubhavishal prayam amartyanadhyam. And then you can read that 19th chapter is important because of the Parikshit statement about death, how he faced death. And this you will see in many other great personalities' life as well. Here also, Prahlada is saying that when a situation comes like this in life, majority of the people, they fail. Majority fail, isn't it? Because they don't know what to do with the death. When death comes, what do? We go all running around everywhere. This doctor, that doctor, or this medicine, that medicine, if this can help, that can help, we will stand ICU and all other things, whatever they have got there. But nothing saves anybody. At the end, we lose the battle. We all fail in the battle. So only those very, very few people, very, very few, who had that proper realization inside about death, they utilize their death to their advantage. Because Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavadam, that what does death means? Mrityu atyanda vismriti, isn't it? Krishna is not presenting death to us like the way we are seeing death today. Krishna's point is that mrityu atyanda vismriti, which means we have got the gross body and the subtle body. The gross body will go one day. Subtle body won't go. Subtle body won't go. And you are in that subtle body, not in this gross body. Gross body has come around the subtle body. So, at the time of death, Krishna is saying that gross body goes, but mrityu atyanda vismriti. All what has happened is that every day we are now living in this body, right? When you go into deep sleep state, what's happening? You are dying actually, because you are leaving the gross body. You are leaving this gross body when you go into deep sleep state. In the morning, when you wake up, you are coming back to this same body with all the vasanas what you had. You are bringing with all the vasanas, this body is waiting here to come back to this body again. When you were in the deep sleep state, you had no idea about this body. It is gone. Therefore, Sushupti state is also considered to be similar to death, not much different than death. Krishna is saying to us, all what is happening is, at the time of death, instead of coming back to this body, you are coming back to another body. Subtle body is the same. With that subtle body, instead of coming back to this body, you are going into another body. That's all what we call as death. Krishna makes it so interesting, this thing called death. Whereas we, because of our strong identification with this gross body,
We are thinking, oh, I am going to die. Krishna says, don't worry, another gross body will be there, better one. You can try with that now. But one way or the other, death in Krishna's eyes, death is nothing but this transmigration from one body to another. He gives importance to that rather than losing this gross body. Krishna doesn't give importance to losing this gross body. Krishna gives important thing he's saying there to us that, I think it's in the 11th canto, he says there, Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. The reason why you come back to this body in the morning is because of the vasanas connected with this body were still there in you. Therefore you came back to this body. The moment the vasanas are gone from with this body and a fresh vasanas have to come back again, you will come back to another body to continue with those vasanas. That is all. So that you can, Krishna, that's how Krishna puts it. I think it is in the 19th chapter of the 11th canto, that important words about death, what Krishna says there. It is a very interesting verse also, in the sense that, I think it is there. Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. That's a very nice way of saying, so simple, he says to Uddhava. Uddhava, this death is not a big deal, he says. What is so big about that? Krishna's point. 22, is it? Yeah, okay.
Vishayabhinivesena Atmanam yalsmarel puna jandor vai kasichidhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Vishaya abhinivesena Atmanam yalsmarel puna jandor vai kasichidhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Krishna's explanation is like this, that Vishaya abhinivesena due to our excessive attachment to body and bodily happiness, due to excessive attachment to the body and the bodily happiness, Atmanam yal smarelpuna, Natmanam yal smarelpuna, we do not think about our pure identity, who we are. We don't think about it. Atmanam na yal smarelpuna. Then, Jandorvai kasyachidhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Atyanda vismriti. Then, he says, death is nothing but, death is, Krishna is saying, death is the vasanas that when we go to bed in the deep sleep, we go to sleep and what happens then? First the body goes, is it not? We get disconnected from the body, then the mind goes away. All the vasanas inside, they go and dissolve. They dissolve in the self. They dissolve in the self. Because that vasanas have dissolved in the self, in the morning when you wake up, the vasanas comes out. And when the vasanas comes out, it needs this gross body again to continue with that vasanas. So therefore, it comes back to this gross body again. So when, as long as there is subtle body, as long as there is vasana, this body will remain like this. Now, even when the vasanas are dissolved, there are other vasanas which still has, which requires a different kind of body to function, to experience them. So a stage comes when this body is not of much use anymore for utilizing the vasanas what are present there. It is that thing what is called a death. Then we leave. So subtle body, when it dissolves in the deep sleep state, if it is coming back, then that means there is rebirth. The subtle body is coming back, there is rebirth. If the subtle body gets completely destroyed, then it is liberation. It's liberation. That means there is no more new body. No more new body. This is how, from Krishna's point of view, this is how he is seeing life and death.
Not like the way we are seeing life and death. Krishna is saying that you have your vasanas inside. He is looking at this body and saying to us that Vishaya Abhinivesha, because of your excessive attachment to your body and to the happiness of this world, you had no time to think about the self inside, Atma inside. He says here that Atmanam Yal Smarel Puna. Even the two verses before, what Prahlad is saying here, Krishna is repeating there. Dhyayan Manoni Vishayan Drishtanvani Shudanatha Udyan Seedal Karma Dandram Smridhistadhinu Shamedi. Same about karmam, he is saying there. Karmam, karma vasana we have created. All that vasana inside has kept this body going so far. And this body won't go till that vasanas are finished. Those vasanas, what was meant to go through this body. Till they are finished, this body won't go, Krishna is saying. It will stay. It will keep coming back to this body again every morning. But a time will come later when the purpose of this body is over. It cannot utilize those vasanas anymore. It requires another body to finish those vasanas which are stacked up inside. And that is what is called death. That's what is called death. Therefore, what does Krishna says? Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. Atyanda Vismriti means when the vasanas are there, you will remember this body. This particular body. When those vasanas, because those vasanas are connected with this body. When that vasanas are over, your remembrance of this body will also go. This body is only there to fulfill those vasanas inside. So, mrityu atyanda vismriti. At one point, you will find that this body, you don't need it anymore. Because the vasanas that is meant to go through this body is finished. Vasana keeps this body going. When the vasanas are finished, this body is of no use to us. And you will say on your own that I don't need this body anymore. By then the decision is already made. The fresh vasanas have taken over. And accordingly another body is prepared there. And we go and get into that body straight away with our subtle body. We go in, jiva goes into the next body with its subtle body and continues the cycle there. So that is why Krishna is not giving importance to death. Because it's, as far as Krishna is concerned, it's only a changing in apartment. One house to another house. Just like you move the house, same way you move the house. So he says, Vishaya Abhinivesena Altmanam Yal Smarel Puna Jandorvai Kasyachit Dhedor Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. Mrityu Atyanda Vismriti. He says here. So here, Prahlada is saying here that this stage we are talking about the rishis who go into the forest and practice spiritual life. We'll come back to that after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumahada vagninirvabanam Shreya Kaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Budhi Vardhanam Pradipada Purnam Radha Swadhanam Sarvatna Svabhanam Param Jayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bhuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrar Pidani Vida Smarani Nakala Eda Drashi Tavakrabha Bhagavan Mamami Gurudeva Midrisha Mihajani Nanuragaham Pranaravishuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamva Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Tugitvai Ayi Nandatanu Jagingaram Padidamham Shamai Bhavambudo Krupayatava Padabanga Jastitaduhuli Sadasham Vichindaya Nayanam Galadashudharya Padanam Gadgadarudhaya Gira Pulagar Nijanam Kadavahu Tavadhama Grahane Bhavishadi Yuga Idam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravisha Idam Shunya Idam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahe Name Ashleshava Padradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam or Mahadam Karyodhuva Yathatadava Vidhada Durambhado Alprana Nathastuna Evana Param Naivodhvije Paradhratya Vaidaranya Tudbhiryagayana Mahamradamagna Chittaham Shojeta do vimukhajeta samindriyarthamaya sukhaya Paramuddhahato vimudhan Prayena devamanaya swavimuktigamam Maunam charandi Maunam charandi vijane na parartha nishtaham na idanyuhaya kribanan vimamukshamego nanyam tadasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashyem.
So, Prahlada is explaining to us one important point there, that all sadhana, upasana, everything, eventually it has to come to this stage. What is that stage? Freedom from selfishness. Selfishness has to go. And any upasana or sadhana, if it is ultimately in the selfishness, it will not have any benefit. So it is that compassion what he is talking about. In the Mahalpas, what you find, that Mahalpas have that nature. Their mind is compassion, is compassion. But because, another important thing, because you feel compassion for others, it should not end up in you going and jumping into fresh karma and getting entangled there. What he is saying is that in the name of compassion, it should not develop into such a way that getting into the, practically he's talking about the kind of philanthropic activities. Compassion will come from realization. Self-realization will develop into compassion. But if that compassion eventually turns out to help others in their body, bodily maintenance and bodily necessities, that will not be good. Because as far as their karma and their life in this world, that is Krishna's responsibility. You don't have to feel that it is on your shoulders. So you should have to know where to express that karuna or compassion and where to stop it also. Because the compassion itself is Krishna's manifestation inside. And that compassion is sufficient to heal him. And that compassion will do what it has to do. That is what he is saying there in the 44th verse. 44th verse.
Prayena devamunayasu vimuktikama maunam charandi vijanena parartha nishtaha naidan vihaya kribanan vimumukshameko nanyam tadasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashyem.
So, Prahlada is saying to Narasimham that many, many great rishis and sages, they go to the forest in solitude and they stay in silence, in reflection, on inquiry. And with the desire for liberation, they control themselves. Aparartha nishtaha. Charandi vijanena parartha nishtaha. Na parartha nishtaha. That means, he's saying, when you have selfishness inside, even silence won't help. Silence won't help. Why he's saying here, naidan vihaya kribanan vimamuksham eko nanyam tadasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashye. I do not see any other shelter except you. Prahlada says to Narasimham, I do not trust my sadhana, but I trust you. This is Prahlada's statement. I do not trust my own sadhana. Because sadhana, I don't know where it will take me, how far it will take me. I can't trust my sadhana, but I can trust you, he says. Naidan vihaya kramanan vimamukshamekripanan vimamukshameko na anyam todasya sharanam brahmadonyu pashye. That, therefore, whoever trusts his own sadhana, first of all, we will see if sadhana is going to bring the result. We all do that, isn't it? First we try with our sadhana. In Krishna consciousness also it's like that. You have so much faith in your sadhana and you increase your sadhana. Sadhana means various sadhana processes or various techniques or secret or method, whatever. There's always some new secrets and techniques and methods people are bringing about, isn't it? You can see in all different sannyasis, gurus, they also come up with different ideas. So, they will say like this, that practice this way. follow this process or this sadhana or this process, and we will try that also. We'll try, somebody is giving you some tip. They say, give me some tips in spiritual life. What tip can you give to spiritual life? So that's why you will see, I mean, if you are talking to the devotees over a period of time, you will know that their mind is working, looking for some quick solution to their difficulties in spiritual life. And they are saying that, oh, I have talked to this devotee, he has given me this tip, he had given me this easy technique or whatever it may be. And so, spiritual life is like electrical engineering or mechanical engineering, or no technique will work here. No technique will work here. So, till that person who is looking for technique inside, till he leaves, realization won't happen. Who is looking for technique? Ahangaram. If that ahangaram does not leave you, the vastu inside, he will not manifest. This is the difficulty with spiritual life. So, all the processes in this world, once you come to spiritual life, it will not work. In the Adhyatma Vidya, all the processes what we have developed will not work. But it's okay to tell others about your techniques, whatever you have developed. But Prahlada is saying here, all those techniques is of no use in my spiritual life. I have realized that long ago. Prahlada is saying that. So, one thing what you have to realize is, when anybody tells us that I will give you a new technique in spiritual life, and we take us with him, that we have to understand that no technique will help us to reach Krishna. So, till our attention, Shraddha, in us becomes so intense that when you realize that on your own you can't do it, with your own effort, at that time Krishna has to show the mercy and it will come. But once that ego inside, ahangaram inside, is dictating to us that we can do it through our sadhana, our technique, our methods, it will never happen. It will never happen. Because Atma inside is always present there with full knowledge and full bliss and eternity, isn't it? But the covering that Atma, its knowledge and its bliss, is our ahangaram. Our ahangaram is covering that. That is why whenever we go finding a new process, a new technique, that means our ahangaram and abhimanam, pride inside, is getting stronger. That means the coverage is getting thicker. Coverage is getting thicker. So that is what is called avaranam. Avaranam means that covering created by our own ignorance. Because our faith is all in all the technique and in the sadhana, not in Krishna. That is the problem. This is why Krishna keeps repeatedly telling us, even if you are doing any sadhana, if it is not with fully surrendered to Krishna, that sadhana won't be effective. Sadhana won't be effective. It will carry, because who is doing sadhana? Ahangaram is doing the sadhana. Isn't it? So therefore, that surrender is more important than the sadhana. In bhakti and in jnanam also. Therefore he is saying that mayasaktam anapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Madashrayam is more important. Mayodideshu avahidam swadharmam madashraya, he says in the Bhagavadam. So Prahlada is saying here that you are my only shelter, and there is a lot of happiness in this material existence, and here liberation is not that what I am looking for. Narasimham says to Prahlada, Prahlada, why do you say like this? There is happiness in this world, some happiness, isn't it? It's not all that bad. Narasimham is saying to Prahlada. So, and don't blame all these people who are in the material existence, who are living their material life. Why blame them? Narasimham says to Krishna, to Prahlada, and they are all happy here, are they not? Why you blame them when they are happily living here? Narasimham says, so Prahlada is answering that question. Yan maithuna adigrahame di sukham hitucham kandu yane na karayori va dukha dukham tripyandi neha kribana bahu dukha baja kandu divan manasijam vishaheta dhiraham. He says that maithuna means that a man and a woman together feeling happiness. They have come together and that is feel. And from the time of beginning of creation it has been like that. It started with Manu and Shadarupa. Swayambhumanu and Shadarupa. And from that day onwards, this peculiar happiness between association with a man and a woman has started. And Maya has all kept us in that lock. And you can see this in our life. You look at all cinemas, dramas, serials, everything. If you look, you will see this is the same topic that is discussed there, isn't it? Out of all the things, cinema is the oldest one, isn't it? Television is later one. Serials are final, later ones. So, but the theme has not changed. The theme is the same. All the drama, literature, everything, you will find a hero and a heroine. And sometimes when you see all these movies that comes from, whether it's from Hollywood or from Bollywood or Collywood or Chollywood, wherever it is, all the movies that come, it's all centered around a young man or a young woman, their relationship. Sometimes you think, there are a lot of retired people, isn't it? 70, 80 years old, men, women, retired, living retired life. There is no movie about them. Why is it like that? All the movies you will always see, either a young man fully dressed up he comes and a young girl. Why that's only importance there? So are they not living, the old men and the old ladies? They are also living in this world, but their history is never taken for any movie. All the movies you will see, it will all be youthful, young men or young women, isn't it? So problems are there for everybody, young men or old men. They still have problems. And you can see older people, how they, day to day, how they manage their life. They have to struggle a lot with maintaining their own body. They have got problems in their home, family life. Why we don't make all that into movies? We don't see any movies like that. Everything with music and dancing and everything, fantastic life. We falsely put ourselves into this, isn't it? So, only thing is, our basic instinct, what is inside us, only if you express that, the cinemas will run, the movies will run, isn't it? So, some illusion in our head thinking that is the life, actual happiness in life. It is created inside us. And that is nothing but an emotion from the Prakriti, material nature. Material nature has created a certain kind of emotions inside us, you know, a power, so that the creation can go on in this world. That is why this attraction between man and woman is created in that way. So, Prahlada is saying that who will call that as happiness? Is saying here, yen maidhunadi grihamedhi sugham hitucham kanduya yena karayoriva dukha dukham trupyandi neha kribana bahu dukha baja kandudivan manasijam shahedadhiraham. He says that will anybody call this as happiness, looking at the life of the young men and women? He's saying there that will anybody say that scratching the body is a happy situation? For example, if you got a boil in the body and it feels very scratchy, and if you scratch that, what will happen is that boil will get worse. So, kandudivan manasijam, he says. So, best thing to do is to take the medicine and not to scratch it, so that it will disappear from the body. You may ask the question, how is Prahlada, a 5-year-old boy, is able to say all these things? When Prahlada is saying these prayers, he is taking the mood of all the householders in this world in him, and he is able to speak. Because you remember, Prahlada knows that he is present in everyone, like Shukabrahmar, she knows. So when he is saying these prayers to Narasimham, he is sitting in everyone's heart, experiencing their miseries within him. He is able to express it to Narasimham. That is why he says there, that Yanmaithuna digrahame disukham hiducham kandoye yena karayoriva dukha dukham trapyandi neha kribana bahu dukha bhaja kandodivan manasi jammishaheta dhiraham. So therefore, because he is speaking from that realization, our vasana, our samskaram, is everything is inside Prahlada as well at that time when he is saying this. So he is saying that, experiencing our misery, Prahlada is saying that even though they have all this distress in their life, they are still not satisfied. They are not satisfied with their life and unable to take to spiritual path. So, because they are still thinking that they will fulfill all their material desires and eventually they will become happy. This illusion is in their mind, and that Prahlada is able to say because he is present in everyone's heart. This is what happened. Sarvabhuta hridayam muni manatosmi. When, like Shukabrahmarshi, when he spoke Bhagavadam, sometimes Shukabrahmarshi is like Gobi. He is talking. He is like Uddhava. He can speak. Like Ambarish, he can speak. Like Prithu, Maharaj Prithu, he could speak. Like the four Kumaras, he could speak. Why? Sarvabhuta hridayam, that state. And that is what here with Prahlada also. So he says here that knowing all these things of the situation of the conditioned soul who is experiencing the material miseries, and he's saying there, all the scriptures, they give you a way of life to fit in within the circumference of dharma, religious principles, and they have put the mark all around and they tell us you live in this way. But without following that, completely giving up all dharma in life, never satisfied with anything, and without feeling any peace inside, instead of vishaheta dhiraha, without being a dhira, he remains in this life. Prahlada is saying here, dhira means that one who is able to tolerate all the miseries of material life and able to perform austerities and penances and cultivate bhakti in the heart and able to live in this world. That is called a dhira. Dhira, when Prahlada says dhira, he refers to this person who who able to tolerate all the miseries of material life, able to take the full benefit of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and enough austerities in life, not getting distracted by the material miseries, and executing bhakti here, and able to live in that. So, you can say all these things. Narasimha says there, that if I have to leave all these things, and I have to go back and perform penances, that is not possible. That is why you see the next verse, Maunam vrata shuddha tapo adhyayana swadharmam vyakhyaraho japasamadheyam abhavargya prayaparam purushadetva jitendriyanam varta bhavandiyadana vatra dudambhiganam. Maunam vrata shuddha tapo adhyayana swadharma vyakhyaraho japasamadheyam abhavargya prayaparam purushadetva jitendriyanam varta bhavandiyadana vatra dudambhiganam. For liberation, there is different routes, different path, sadhana, for different sadhanas. Maunam means remaining silent. Swadhyayam means studying shastram. Tapasya, austerities and penances. Adhyayanam, studying the shastram and exposing the shastram to others. Swadharma anushtanam, executing one's own dharma in this world, and then explaining that vyakhyanam to them. That's what he's saying here. Maunam vrata shrubam tovo adhyayanam swadharmam vyakhyanam. Vyakhyanam means writing commentaries on the shastram based on one's realizations. Then solitude. Aho japa samadayam avavargyam. Then staying in solitude. Then homam japam, chanting the holy name. Samadhi state. So all these things, everything, he says, prayaparam purushate tvajdendriyanam varta bhavandyada navatradu dambhiganam. Those who do not have control on their senses, varta bhavandi, he says. Varta bhavandi means, those who do not have control over the senses, for them, they all, what they want is, they want others to know that I am engaged in spiritual life. And they have different intentions in their life. It's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. For example, some people make a way of living out of it, isn't it? Instead of accepting what Prahlada is saying, Prahlada is saying that this sadhana, upasana, all the maunavradam, shrutam, tapas, adhyayanam, swadharmam, vyakhyanam, japam, samadhi, all these abhavargyaha. He says, all of them, as far as I am concerned, Prahlada says, varta bhavandi na vatadu dambhiganam. It's only for some many people, it is only for making a living from that, he says. There are certain things from Prahlada's statement we have to understand. It is an insight into advanced people's life, spiritually advanced people's life. For example, many people, say for example, some people, many years, they went and lived in solitude. Lived in solitude. Say went into the big mountains or hills and caves. They went and stayed there without eating anything, without sleeping. And if you see that and start thinking that, let me also try the same thing. I'll go into some cave in some big mountain and live in the cave without eating, without sleeping, severe austerities like that. And there are people who have done this in many, many instances. But if you do all that, it may not work. It may not work. That means, if you do things looking at others and start doing it in that way, it may not work. Because when they did that, and when we are doing this, it's on two different planes. When we are doing it through our willpower, isn't it? Through our false ego, and willpower is dictating to us that perhaps if you should try that and it may work, it will not work. Whereas they have done it when it was prompted by their andaryami from inside. That is the big difference. So that is why in spiritual life you can't imitate anybody. You can't imitate anybody. Because if you ask the question why it's not working, we don't know. It doesn't work. That's all you can say. That if you try to think, like Haridas Thakur chanted 192 rounds every day. If you think that you will chant 192 rounds, you can give it a try and see what happens. It wouldn't work. It simply won't work. That's the way it is. That it is not completely in our hands, everything in spiritual life. It's not in our hands. All these instances, these are examples you can see here, that they give an example like this, that a girl got married and came to the husband's home. And after a certain period of time, she became pregnant. So there was a young girl, very young girl, 8 years old girl in that house. So this little girl, she is saying, What happened to this grown-up girl? So the grown-up girl says to the younger girl, I have become pregnant, there is a baby in my stomach, isn't it? So the stomach has become big after a while. And then she had the baby. The grown-up lady has a baby. So when this little girl saw that baby, she also wanted to have a baby, this young girl. And what did she do? She did exactly the same thing that she tried to imitate like the grown-up lady. And tried everything, because when she was going through her pregnancy, she was getting tired, she was resting, and her food habits were changing. So the young girl was noticing all these things. So she started trying all those things, thinking that she will also have a baby in the same way. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. So then she thought that maybe the elder sister got admitted to the hospital, and that's where she got pregnant and had the baby. So you can see that inside the mother, the seed was already there, and that has come as a baby later for the mother, isn't it? So the after effect of that seed inside, which has gone in, is that has come as a baby later. But looking from outside like the little girl, you may do anything, but nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. So the seed has to be there inside the mother's body, isn't it? Similarly, everything what has gone inside, that will make that person to do certain things in his spiritual life also. When personalities like Ramana Maharshi went into the cave and spent years and years in the cave, able to do certain things which normal people would find it difficult. So what does it indicate? That there was already the seed of that spiritual life planted in him in such a way which prompted him to go and do that. It has not come from willpower. Do you see what I'm saying? Similarly, when Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds, there was a seed already inside him which was prompting him to go and do that. People ask this question. Haridas Thakur chanted 192. How long did he chant? Say 10 years. You chant 10 years 192 and you see you get the same result like Haridas Thakur, you won't get it. So then you say, oh, the process is not working. Because you don't understand that, we don't understand the subtle side of that. That person must have had some seed planted inside before, in previous life or some other time, and that seed is causing this urge to chant like that in him. That so this is the reason that is prompting them to go in that route and engage in serious sadhana or serious upasana in that way happening. And why it's not happening to us? Because the seed is not there in us. So Maharshi used to say this. He said, I didn't do anything. I left home and came here. To Tirunamala he says that. I came here. I didn't do anything. Everything was happening in life. This is the message from all the realized source. That when I was not talking to anybody, so people started calling me, I'm crazy. And when I was not eating anything, because I was not feel like eating anything, they said, oh, he's fasting. They were saying about me, he said. And he could see from inside, Andaryami was prompting him not to eat. Andaryami was prompting him not to speak. And Andaryami was prompting him to stay in the cave, which he did. So in spiritual life, imitating somebody is not possible. It will not have any result. So that is why Krishna is putting us in different situations. So even sadhana is concerned, on our own if you do it thinking that It will all bring the results what you have seen with somebody else. That will not happen. That itself, better to understand that in the beginning itself. Otherwise you will spend a lot of time through your sadhana, thinking that everything will come out nicely. But only thing you can desire is that you want to get back to Krishna. That desire you can have. But whatever Krishna engages, whatever sadhana he takes you in, he engages you, that sadhana you can do. That's all you can do. Whatever sadhana he gives it to you. But you should never look at others and start thinking that if I start doing like that, the result will come. If you follow that route, it will not work. It will not work. What will happen then is, in course of time, your ego will get stronger. That I've done all this kind of upasana and sadhana, and that will cause more problems. So if you look at somebody else and imitate them and start practicing spiritual life in that way, in silence, you won't be able to become like that in the other way. So what that is why that example of Paundraga Vasudeva in the Bhagavatam. Remember? Paundraga story, famous story in the Bhagavatam. You won't become Vasudeva by become Paundraga Vasudeva. His friends told him that you dress up like Krishna. And so he did. He even got one disc made to use, isn't it? It's a hilarious story in the Bhagavatam. When you read that, painted his body like Krishna's color, put a crown like Krishna. And then he sent a messenger to Dwaraka to say to Krishna that you are not Vasudeva, real Vasudeva is here. My boss has sent me here to tell you to hand over all your weapons, all your opulence, everything to him. Krishna says, fine, I'll do that, he said. So you know what happened, isn't it? And Krishna comes and then meets up with our Paundraga Vasudeva. And Krishna asked, are you ready now to receive my opulences and everything? Vasudeva says, yes, here it is, he said. Sends the disc and cuts the throat. That's finished, isn't it? So, therefore, imitation in spiritual life will not help. Imitation in spiritual life won't help. Bhakti is more important. Bhakti is more important. Or Krishna's grace is more important. So, all you can do is the way in which Krishna is taking you, go along that route. And instead, walking on your own. That will not happen. Whichever opportunity Krishna gives to us, and if you follow that route, if that way it will happen, it is meant to happen, it will happen. Otherwise it's not going to happen. So, even the great personality like Muruganar Swamiji, about him, he written about 40,000 verses about Maharshi. He says to him that, asked him, What sadhana should I do? He asked. Maharshi told him, stay as you are. That was his answer. Stay as you are. Because you don't have to do anything. The life will take its own road. And you don't do anything on your own. The power that has brought you here, the power who is keeping you going in this world, that intelligence, you have to have faith in that power and in the intelligence. And Krishna, or that authority, does not have to even give instructions. Whichever way that intelligence is keeping you going in this world, with full respect and devotion, you carry out your life in this world, and that is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, whichever way that power, superpower, is carrying out our life, and without allowing our intelligence to come on the way, and block our progress in that way. So normally the problem we have is our intelligence is in the middle of everything, isn't it? So intelligence that will even sometimes go against our common sense even against our common sense. So, in these present days, we think intelligence is very important, isn't it? Intelligence is given a lot of importance. That is why, in this particular civilization, you can see that, you can see how our intelligence is causing problems to us. That two, three things have become more important in this life now. Present civilization. If you look, you can see that three things you will see very prominent in our life in this world. Very prominent. First thing, things meant for decorating the body, decorating the home, decorations and making everything beautiful, attractive, isn't it? That means you can see jewelry, gold and clothes. It has taken a very prominent position in our life now. Clothes business and gold, two things. Then second one, eating business. Everywhere, isn't it? Restaurant after restaurant, everywhere restaurants. Hotels, restaurants, such a huge industry running on this eating thing. A huge industry running on this decoration business, gold and clothes. And a huge industry based on our eating business, hotel business in other words. And the last one, hospital business. Look at these three, hospitals, restaurants, and the shopping. Shopping means basically these two, isn't it? If you compare, walk into Watford, you go and have a look into Watford. Shop after shop after shop, clothes. How much clothes do you need? If it's not clothes, something else to decorate the body. Shoes after shoes after shoes, shops. If it is not there, what's the next one? Jewelry after jewelry after jewelry. All kinds of designs. And such expensive shops, so expensive they are, to walk in and the rent that cost, to maintain, keep that shops open. But all focused on these things. Clothes and decorating the body. Nothing else. One set. If you leave them behind, if you take these three things, hospitals, and then these hotels, and these shops, there is no civilization here. What civilization is left here? Imagine. Is there any civilization here then? If you take these three things away. Hospital after hospital. Everywhere it's signposted. A&D like this. What for general this way? Constantly reminding you that you're always in a 6 to 8. Whichever way you go. This trust, that trust. And all kinds of advertisement of the hospital everywhere. Added to that, if you look into the into all other websites, everything, majority of that is centered around your health and your bodily maintenance, isn't it? So these three things have taken a complete grip on our life in this world, and so the after effect of all these things. What is the after effect of all this thing? The funniest thing is, I don't know, you may probably, because you are all grown up in the cities, probably you won't know it. In the villages when we were living, the only shops were what it sold, the grains and the vegetables. This was the only shops we knew. Even clothes shops were not important. There were only one or two in the bigger towns. You go once a year and buy all the shops or the clothes you need. Otherwise, shops means they sold the grains, they sold the vegetables. This was the main shops. Any shops in the village were like this. And that's what you go to buy. But now you look, you don't see any of them. There is no shops anywhere selling grains. Or to get some vegetable, you have to drive 20 miles to get some proper vegetable. This is the situation. But we have got everything else close to us. All the clothes and it's a very funny civilization what we are living in now, isn't it? So Prahlada's point is also that this all, who has created all this problem? This brain has created. It says that food is not important. Food is not important. Food you can buy, it's available in Canada, Australia. If you pay millions of dollars, it'll come by ships and then come in the powdered, packeted form, frozen from the priories in Canada, all packaged and all the, and that's available plenty in supermarkets, packaged nicely. All you have to do is to pick up and put it in your bag. Even that's not necessary. You can phone up and it'll come and deliver it to you, isn't it? So things like this just shows the way we are. Now, this is the brain causing this difficulty. This is the stage we are living now. So he's saying here that we have to eat food what has been made in Canada or in Australia. It's coming on our in our shops, isn't it? That's what you get. All the frozen foods are either from there or from at least 5-10,000 miles away. No food from here. It's not possible. So, after a while you start thinking that how these hospitals and this food industry will run like this. How long can it go on like this? So here he's saying here that that in this verse he's saying Maunavrata Shubha Prayaparam Purushadetu Ajitendriyanam that when you have a setup like this, when you have a setup like this, when you start thinking everything you can buy with cash, isn't it? You can buy with cash any of these things. So, where will the cash will come from? That's the next thing to think about. So, so there is no production. Why has this come like this? Situation has happened like this. Our vision in life has become, it has gone into the world to such an extent, all it is looking for vanity. I have to present in front of others, that is vanity. But I am driving the most modern expensive car. I live in the most celebrated area, the best postcode. I wear everything what it is as accepted by the modern society. And I should be doing this kind of shopping to meet up with that kind of people. Prahlad is saying here, Trupyandi Prayaparam Purushadetu Jidendriyanam Vartha Bhavandyada Navatradu Dambhiganam. That Dambhigam is the vanity. Dambhigana means the vanity. To fulfill the vanity in us, we have cultivated and developed a lifestyle like this and feeling happy about that. When you're doing that, what will happen is, what Andaryami is saying to us from inside, we won't hear that. That's what he's saying here. Varta bhavandyadu bhavandyudana vatra tu dambhiganam. Vartha bhavandyaduna vatradu dambhiganam. Dambhiganam means this vanity. When we have this vanity inside, that their vartha, their news only you can hear. What Andaryami is saying to us from inside, vartha bhavandyaduna vatradu dambhiganam. Andaryami's lecture from inside you won't hear. You will hear the lecture from the world, what others are telling us. That means all the Shraddha is outside, in the outside world. That what you will hear what the school teacher is saying to you, what the college they are teaching you, what will they teach you? They will only teach you what is in the syllabus, isn't it? That's what they will teach us in the college and the school. And these syllabuses and all that, where who has made this syllabus in the school and colleges? For example, you take history. Who wrote all the history? In many of them were written by politicians. And or all you are studying at economics is what these businessmen have created their life. Successful businessmen, they'll come and lecture you in the college how to make money, how to do business. It is they are the experts in that. Similarly, politicians, they wrote all our history books. They were in politics and they have been successful in their politics. And they are the people who are writing this, and that is the syllabus. This we have to study. And then where is the intelligence then? So you can see, when you are able to break away from this kind of intelligence, which has been imposed upon us, by the politicians, by the businessmen. And that is called intelligence. That is called intelligence. Because everybody is going in that route, isn't it? And I am also going along with them in the same way. How will I be able to come out of this mess? Able to come out of this mess. So, when you are able to withdraw from that, and when your intelligence becomes peaceful to think in a different direction, that means when there is no more disturbance inside, then at that time alone, you will be able to hear the voice of Antaryami from inside. The voice of Antaryami from inside. That is what he is saying here. Maunam vradashyuta tapo dadhyena swadharmam vyakhyaraho javasamadayam apavargyaha prayaparam purushadeto jidendriyanam varta bhavandida navarta tu dambhiganam. If you listen to the dambhiganam, dambhiganam means those who are educating us in the material way of life. If you listen to them, that you will become dambhiganam. Dambhiganam means this situation will happen. That vanity will build up inside. Vanity will build up inside. And at that time, you will never be able to hear the voice of Antaryami, what Antaryami is telling us from inside, which means Krishna is telling us. You won't be able to hear that, he's saying here. So, therefore, he's saying here, when you keep on giving your attention only to the world outside, and if you keep on hearing to what the world is dictating to you, whether you engage in silence or performing any austerities or penances or adhyayanam, whatever he said in the last earlier line, maunavradam shruta tapo adhyayanam swadharmam vyakhyanam japam samadhi, all these things you may do, all these things, but whatever it may be, what is the basic thing behind that? Basic thing is you want to get back to Krishna. That means self-realization has to be the goal, or going back to Krishna has to be the goal. If it is a goal, then if you do all these things, it will be genuine. It will be genuine. But if that is not the goal, what will happen is, the only thing is, it will develop a false impression inside that I have done all these things. That's what will happen. That is what Prahlad is saying there. He is saying that while engaging in all these sadhana, if the ultimate goal is not to go back to Krishna or self-realization, in other words, if that is not the goal, then what will happen is, after a while, you will feel ahankaram inside, pride will build up inside, thinking that I have done all these things, and that vanity will remain inside, that ego will develop inside. So only that will be the result. So here he says, Prahlada didn't say don't do any of those things. What he is saying here is that if Antaryami inside is detecting you to do all that, do it. If Antaryami, but the Antaryami's path you should follow rather than the path dictated by the world outside. If you follow that way in spiritual life, you will not find any blockage anywhere. Maunam, vratam, tapasya, adhyanam, vyakhyanam, japam, samadhi. All of them, dambhiyanam bhavanti na vatratu. Says, na vatratu dambhiyanam. So, otherwise it will develop into ego. And it will not even develop for making material life, he said. Because this dambham or ego inside, it will give so much distress in life. So much distress in life. That's what he's saying there. Rupe ime sadasadi tavadeva drishte bijangvira vivajanyada rupakasyam yukta samaksham ubhayatra vijinvade tvam yogena vannimivadarishananyadasyal. Prahlada is giving this example. He is giving a certain understanding of executing spiritual life here in this world. These verses are all about that. What should be one's state of consciousness while engaging in sadhana. He said here, many things he spoken in the last 4 or 5 verses. Now he is saying here that there is fire in the wood. There is fire in the wood. You are able to bring that fire which is present in the wood, you have to bring it out from that fire. You can bring that out from the fire, isn't it? Similarly, he says, Yogena vanyimiva darushu nanyadasyal. Vanyi means fire. Through the power of yoga and through tapasya, you should be able to break away from the duality of the world, dvaidam, and come to the situation of the pure knowledge of advaidam, advaita jnanam. That is what he is saying there. Rupe ime sadasaditava deva srishte bija angura vivanaja anyada rupakasya yukta samaksham ubhayatra vijinyade tvam yogena vanyimivadarishananyadasyal. It is a statement based on the realizations of a person. For example, Namarubam we are seeing here in this world, is it not? This Namarubam is the whole problem for us. Because we see Namarubam, Ragadvesham comes from that. If you don't see Namarubam, there is no Ragadvesham. So to come out of Namarubam is not easy. Namarubam is very deep in our heart, inside. So he says here, that just like bijam and anguram, that means the seed and the sprout that is coming from that. Similarly, in this creation also, there is a cause as well as an effect. Cause is the Atma or Brahman, effect is the world. And if the knowledge of the soul wakes up in a person, if that wakes up, then he will go beyond this duality of the world. He will go beyond, that's what he's saying here. Rupe ime sadas aditav deva srishte bija angura vivanajanya adarupa gasya yukta samaksham upayatra vijinyadetvam yogena vanyimiva darishu nanyadasyal. Through the power of the knowledge of the self, he's saying here that you may have to able to break away from the dvaidam or duality here, and a jiva can get established in the advaita jnanam or pure knowledge of the self and get established there. Just like he says that the seed and from the seed the tree comes. The seed, the tree comes. Which means the tree was there inside the seed. Tree was there inside the seed. Isn't it? Similarly, this creation has happened. But don't look at the creation. Where did this come from? The source, where it came from. And in this way, one has to make that awareness inside to wake up of the soul. And if that awareness wakes up inside, then you will go beyond the result, karyam. Karyam, karanam, isn't it? So, karya karana bhedam will go away from inside once you have woken up to the reality of the soul inside. Andaryami wakes up inside, then you will know that the world has come from this Andaryami. Come from Andaryami. And therefore, cause and effect, that difference will go away. Because ultimately in self-realization, first you realize the self. Then you realize that everything that is here is also the self-manifestation, another form. Once you know that this has come, the source is inside the Andaryami. So, because this cause and effect, we are caught up in that. And because we are caught up in that, we are unable to go beyond than that. Everything is like that in this world. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. So, in Adhyatma Sadhana, in spiritual life, there is Sata, there is Asata. So, Sati is the Atma. Asat is everything what you are seeing outside. So, and the Atma inside, the soul inside, we utilize that, the presence of Atma, just like Sadhana is inside and sadhana is outside also. Sadhana is inside, sadhana is outside. Both these things has to go on. Bahya sadhana and antariga sadhana. For example, you are chanting the holy name, doing various activities in Krishna consciousness, for example. That is the external side of that. Simultaneously, there is a antariga sadhana necessary. Inside sadhana is also necessary. Only in that, if you do these things together, only then realization of the self is possible. Is possible. Gaudapada Acharya mentions this in the Mandukya Karika. In his commentary, he says there, Tattvam adhyatmikam drishtva, tattvam drishtam yahanyaha bahyataha, tatvi bodaha tadaramaha, tattvat aprachyado bhaved. It's a statement, famous statement in the Mandukya Upanishad Karika he written. That tattvam adhyatmikam drishtva, tattvam drishtva iva, tattvam drishtva du bahyataha, tatvi bodaha tadaramaha, tattvat aprachyado bhaved. He says, what he's saying is, tattvam adhyatmikam drishtva, adhyatmika tattvam, the spiritual principle first one realizes. Then tattvam drishtva, drishtvadu bahyataha. After realizing the self, he is seeing it is that tattvam inside which is manifested as the world outside. Then what happens? Tattvi bhudaha, you become that tattvam yourself. Tada ramaha, then you are enjoying that tattvam within. Tattvad aprachyado bhaved. That is the final stage of the tattvajnanam, he says. So, initially in spiritual life, what are we after? We want to know who we are first, isn't it? That means, showing yourself as Atma, as the soul. So, first time you are seeing the tattvam as the soul. After that, the same soul you are realizing in the form of senses, in the form of this world outside, the mind and intelligence, everything, you realize it as something that has come from that soul, a power that has come from the soul. It's soul's manifestation that you are noticing in the senses, mind, intelligence, body and in the world. So, tattvam, realization of the tattvam is first as Atma inside, as the soul. And then you realize it, that very soul inside, as Antaryami, he is coming through the body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, in different forms, and as far as the world is concerned. So, that is why, tattvam adhyatmiyam drishta, and finally what happens? You become that, tattvi bhudaha. So, once that has happened, then aprachyado bhaved, he will not fall anymore. Gaudapada Acharya, he is, if you look into the parambara of the Shuga Brahmarshi's parambara, if you look Shuga Brahmarshi's parambara, you will find him there. He is the spiritual master of Narayana, this begins with Narayana first. Krishna or Narayana begins. Then Vasishtha. Then Brahma, then Vasishtha, then Shakti, then Parashara, then Vedavyas, then Shuga Brahmarshi. Up to this it is father to son. It has come father to son. Beginning from Narayana first or Krishna. Narayana, his son Brahma, his son is Vasishtha, his son is Shakti, his son is Parashara Maharshi, his son is Vedavyas, and then after that it is Shuga Brahmarshi. So, in that parambara, if you look, Shuga Brahmarshi's parambara, this is. Shuga Brahmarshi is not in our parambara. That also we have to know. Shuga Brahmarshi's parambara, if you look, you will see, starting from Narayana, Padmabhuvam, that is Brahma, Vasishtam, Shakti, Parashara, Vedavyas, then Shuga Brahmarshi. After Shuga Brahmarshi, who comes? After Shuga Brahmarshi comes Gaudapada. Gaudapada comes next. So, this Gaudapada's comment, he had direct experience with Shuga Brahmarshi. Shuga Brahmarshi directly instructed him. And that is why his commentary on Mandukya Upanishad, Mandukya Karika are all very, very famous. Extremely famous. And he is saying this. He is saying to us, Tattvam Adhyatmikam Drishtva. First you realize the soul, who soul is, that yourself as the soul, first you understand that realization. Tattvam Adhyatmikam Drishtva. Then, tatvam drishtva, tatvam drishtadu bahyadaha. Then you start seeing that this presence of the soul flowing through the mind, senses, intelligence, body, everything. It is functioning all because of that source inside. After that, you see his presence in the world everywhere. And then what happens? Tatvi bhudaha. You yourself realize that that's you who is going through all these things. Tada ramaha. After that stage, you start experiencing that and enjoying that. Atmarama stage. Remember? Atmarama stage, what? Mahaprabhu means Atmarama chamane yonar grandha virukrame kurvandi haidugim bhaktim itam bhuta guno hari. Verse in the Bhagavatam. So, Atmarama stage is that. Tada ramaha. And after that, tatvad aprachudo bhavet. If you get established like that, there is no chance of falling down from that state anymore. Gurubhadajaya says like that. So, here he says that, so, this realization, what Gurubhadajaya mentions there, that's the same thing Prahlada is saying here in the next few verses. You can see, tvam vayuragnir viniyam budambu matra, pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascha, sarvam tvameva saguno vigunascha bhuman, nanyal todastha bhimano vajasa niruktam. The first thing, tvam vayuragni avanirviyadambu matra pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascha, sarvam tvameva saguno vigunascha bhuman, nanyal todastha bhimano vajasa niruktam. He says here, he says to Narasimham, Prahlada's prayers is all impregnant with knowledge and bhakti, both knowledge and bhakti in there. He says to Narasimham, you are air, you are fire, you are the earth, you are the sky, you are the water. That means, why does he say like that? He says, what he means by that is, all these things, in its most subtle form, is present inside you. In its most subtle form, isn't it? That is what Krishna handed over to Brahma. That subtle aspects of material elements gave it to Brahma. Subtle aspect of mind, intelligence and ego gave it to Brahma and told him, you can create now. From that subtle things, Brahma created everything. So, that is what he's saying. Tvam vayuragnir avanivir adambu matram pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascham sarvam tvameva saguno vigunascha bhuman nanyal todastha bhimano vachasa niruktam. You are present in everyone as the life air. Pranan also eats you. All the senses are you. The heart is yourself and everything is you. So, from there, and it is from the same source that this power to release us from the bondage also comes. That Kripa Shakti, that is also you. That is what he is saying here. Sarvam Tvameva. Everything is you. Now, what Prahlada is saying here, Pipalaina Maharshi also said, isn't it? If you look into the 11th canto, what did he say? He said exactly the same thing. If you look into the second chapter in the 11th canto, he will say there, Tumva, where? Niminavayogi Samvadam. If you look, you can see there that, Kamvayum Agnim Salilam. What Prahlada is saying here? Exactly the same thing. Kamvayum Agnim Salilam Mahimcha Jodinshi Sattva Andisho Dramadin Saril Samudram Shahare Shariram. Yal kinja bhudam praname dhananyaha. So what Kavi Maharshi told Nimi, Prahlada is saying to Narasimham here. Tumvayi ragnir avanivir adambu matram pranendriyani hridayam chidanugrahascha. Exactly the same thing he is saying there also. And you can also see there, which one? Oh, in the 11. 11 to 41. So, and again, if you look into Pipalayana Maharshi's words. He also says exactly the same thing. Same thing to him. That Stitulbhava Pralayhedura Hedurasya Yal Sapna Jagaresh Susuptisho Sadbahischa Dehendriya Sukhudayani Charandiyena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. Defining Brahmam. What is the truth? So, Taidan Mano Vishadi Vagda Chachur Alma Prana Indriyanisa Yadanalamarchishaswal Shabdhobi Bodhaka Nisheda Day Alpa Mulam Artokta Maha Yedrade Nanisheda Siddhi. So that is why it is. That is how it is spoken. Prahlada has spoken here. We will now continue tomorrow because it's 20 to 11. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.